the area. Chinese historical records show Chinese people living on islands in the South China Sea for over 2,000 years. The Chinese government has issued another review of the human rights situation in the United States. It comes as a response to a global human rights review issued by the U.S. State Department. In the report, the Chinese authorities point to the U.S. making comments on the human rights situation in many different countries, but being tight-lipped about its own human rights record. The U.S. Review on Human Rights is an annual country-by-country assessment of every nation of the world, except for the United States. Its annual release, which is often critical of the human rights realities in other countries, has been met every year for years now with a rebuke by the Chinese side. More than 600 protesters have demonstrated outside the U.S. Capitol against big money in U.S. politics, prompting mass arrests by police. The demonstration, led by Democracy Spring, a coalition of more than 100 groups, demanded Congress take immediate action to end the corruption of big money and ensure free and fair elections. Despite its mostly orderly organization, more than 400 sit-down protesters were arrested by police for alleged obstruction.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
Nonetheless, and it always amuses me that so many people seem to think that bullshit only comes from certain sources. You know, advertising, politicians, salesmen. Not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit. Teachers are full of shit. Clergymen are full of shit. Law enforcement people are full of shit. The entire country is completely full of shit. In fact, this country was founded by a group of slave owners who told us that all men are created equal. That is what's known as being stunningly, stunningly full of shit. And you know, I think... And I think people show their ignorance when they say they want politicians to be honest. What are these people talking about? If honesty was suddenly introduced into politics, it would throw everything off. The whole system would collapse. Listen. Clinton might be full of shit, but he lets you know it. Dole tried to hide it. I'm an honest man. Bullshit. Bullshit. People don't believe that shit. Clinton said, "Hi, I'm full of shit, and how do you like that?" And the people said, "At least he's honest. At least he's honest about being full of shit."
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet Radio for the smart of the original.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
I don't want to fly anymore.
Why?
It's dangerous. Listen, I told you. Let's get out of here.
I've flown 35 missions, for Christ's
sake. Take it easy.
Now that sadistic nut has raised the number up to 50. In any other outfit, I would have been rotated after 25. Doc, you got to help me out.
Look, I'm due for rotation myself in a couple of months if I don't cause any trouble or break any rules. And one of the rules says I can't ground anyone just because he asks me to.
Can you ground somebody who's crazy?
Of course, I have to. There's a rule that says I have to ground anyone who's crazy.
I'm crazy.
Who says so?
Ask anybody. Ask Daily, Dobbs, with what? Hey, tell him.
Tell him what?
Am I crazy?
He's crazy, Doc. He won't fly with me. I take good care of him, but he won't. He's crazy, all right.
He's all crazy!
Of course he is! He has to be crazy to keep flying after all the close calls he's had!
Then why can't you ground him?
I can, but first he has to ask me.
That's all he's got to do to be grounded?
That's all.
And then you can ground him?
No, then I cannot ground him. There's a catch.
A catch?
Sure, catch 22. Anyone who wants to get out of combat isn't really crazy, so I can't ground him.
Okay, let me see if I got this straight. In order to be grounded, I've got to be crazy. And I must be crazy to keep flying. But if I ask to be grounded, that means I'm not crazy anymore and I have to keep flying.
You've got it. That's catch 22. Woo!
That's some catch on catch 22.
It's the best there is.
Internet radio for smart of the
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, Salaton and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under colonial, imperial, theological, racialist, homophobic, misogynist, neoclassist, neoliberal, neoliteral, neo-fascist, and pro-capitalist anti-environmental oppression. I'm your host, Angry Indian, Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, logging to the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my executive co-producer and master studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the official broadcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. Some of you, especially if you're of a certain age group, if you were born in the 80s, right, you're probably not going to like very much that I have to say. You'll probably not like me at all after this. And, well, there's nothing I can do about that. That can't be helped, okay, because, you know, what is, and we can pretend that what is isn't, But in reality, all we're doing is playing around with ourselves, playing around with our history, which we do here on a regular fucking basis in the United States. We play with the idea of reality. We toy with it, which is another problem in most of the Anglophone fucking world of not living up to reality, not living in any sense of Cartesian common sense. You know, nothing makes any fucking sense any goddamn more. And that's the fucking truth. That is the fucking truth. You know, there's a lot of goddamn confusion going on out here with a lot of different people. But what's getting me is that the people who are really not with it, and I'm serious about this. I'm fucking as serious as cancer about this. You know, they think they know what the fuck they're doing. You know, because they've read a couple of websites, they watched the movie, so they know all about it. They know all about politics because they watched The West Wing. Or they're looking at the American version of House of Cards because they probably wouldn't understand the fucking UK version. Yeah, Loopy, I said it. They wouldn't understand the UK version. You know how I know that? Because I've had people in my home to watch the UK version, and I had to explain Parliament. I had to explain what a Prime Minister was. Okay, these are people born in the fucking 80s. Alright? Don't know a fucking thing. Talk like they know every goddamn thing, but they have no fucking life experience, which is what they really discount. Because, you know, a lot of my friends' kids, they have this idea that if it didn't happen during their fucking 22, 23 years or younger, then it has no bearing on life. It has no bearing on history. They don't even understand fucking history. You know, I have, you know, young people. Again, the children of my friends, who really believe that Abraham Lincoln was the first president of the United States and that he was fighting vampires. Not slavery. Not trying to keep the country in one piece. But there's some goddamn film that he was fighting vampires. There's another one I just got into again with someone not too long ago. In their early fucking 20s, white male, considers himself to be a fucking libertarian, which is already shaky politics to fucking begin with, right? Considers himself to be a fucking libertarian and wants to argue with me that the communists and the Nazis were on the same fucking side in World War II. Let me repeat that. This young fuck, and I'm calling him a young fuck because he's an aggressive goddamn young man. He's angry with every fucking buddy. You know, if you don't like video games, he hates you. If you don't like the way he's dressed, he hates you. He decided to grow a fucking, I don't even know what you call these beards. There's no mustache, there's no side here, because he shaves his entire fucking head. But he's got this long, almost foot and a half long fucking beard, right? He never wears trousers, he only wears shorts. Underneath the shorts, he wears long, long underwear. Here in the call in the States, long johns, right? The bottoms. You know who I'm talking about, Luke. He only wears, fucking trainers. He never wears a real fucking pair of shoes. I've never seen him wear a real pair of shoes. I've seen him in some work boots. And, you know, he lives here in Poland. He goes through the entire fucking winter like this, no matter what the weather, shorts. Always has a baseball fucking cap on. Always has a hoodie. Or he wears a parka with his shorts. I've never seen him in anything other than a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. He's got tattoos all over the fucking place. He just recently got a big thing on his neck and his lower jaw, right? He's a libertarian. And, you know, he's very good for, you know, blacks are lazy. They don't do this. They don't have this, they're stupid, they're uneducated, this, that, and the other. But he's always fucking whining. He's on welfare. He's taking fucking public assistance. You know, he talks about Ayn Rand, but he's taking public assistance, just like Ayn Rand. Yeah, because I know a lot of you who are born in the fucking 80s that think, and you know, Ayn Rand is the be-all and end-all of the form of libertarianism that she practiced. objectivism, you know, because she was just so egotistical, she had to give it its own motherfucking name, right? Because she was trying to make a name for herself. She was trying to be a big fucking person. So she talked grandly about Gotham, right? She talked grandly. I'm talking about the real Gotham, New York City. You know, she talked grandly about how the Empire State Building and what have you, which, I mean, it's something to see. It is. But at the same goddamn time, that this was proof that the white Anglo-Saxon culture was superior to every fucking body else. That was one of the examples. And that how you make people weak by helping them out. That public assistance is a weakness. It makes the nation weak. It makes people weak. And of course, you know, Arabs are subhumans. Blacks are subhumans. But then every now and again, she come up with something about, well, you can rise above if you act as white as possible. You know, which is the same crapola that Dinesh D'Souza pushes. You know, that moral fucking midget. You know, talks all this morality crap, but he's fucking around on his wife. But it's always he's always different, though, right? When they fuck around. When they have affairs, when they're like Dennis Hastert and they're fucking active goddamn pedophiles like Jerry Sandusky, or enablers of pedophiles like Joe Pantera. That was his paternal. It was paternal, right? Yeah, girl, I didn't go to school there. I only know about Joe. I'm not into sports. I only know about Joe Paterno because I wrote a fucking article about Jerry Sandusky saying that it's time to fucking, the time to take down the fucking Republican Party is now. When that scandal first goddamn broke in Pennsylvania. Penn State, right? That son of a bitch was being protected by the fucking Republican political machine of fucking Pennsylvania. And anybody that tells you that that's not the goddamn case is either a fucking fool or a fucking liar. Quote me on that. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's two fucking pieces of mine that I've written over the years. The two probably most kick-ass goddamn pieces I ever fucking sat down and penned. That you can't find them on the fucking internet anymore. That is one of them. The time to take down the Republican Party is now. It's nowhere on the fucking net. I've lost all sorts of fucking hard drives since then. I don't fucking have a copy of it any goddamn more. And apparently nobody else does. And I pointed out what I was able to fucking find out. And it didn't take me that goddamn long either. It was like, what, 6 days it took me? Seven maybe to finish that piece? I mean, come on, man. Joe Paterno was hooked up with the Republican machine there at Penn State. Penn State was a functioning cog of the Pennsylvania Republican fucking party. And they knew for years, if not decades, that motherfucker was abusing these goddamn children in that school and nothing was fucking done about it. What did that one motherfucker say? He walked in on them, or walked in on him abusing a boy in the showers and didn't do anything. Now you would think the natural instinct of most motherfucking people, especially men, and yes, I said men. I'm not talking about, you know, macho, I'm going to push my weight around. I'm a male, you're gonna motherfucker listen to me. That's not what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm talking about a stand-up motherfucking guy who walks into a room and finds a fucking adult abusing a goddamn child. You would think that the first instinct would be to kick this motherfucker's ass, right? And I'm not advocating goddamn violence. I'm putting out a what is. You would think the first instinct would be to fucking physically stop that son of a bitch. No, you know what the motherfucker did? He was all enamored and totally in awe of Jerry Sandusky because he's this walking goddamn god of Penn State. And he walked out of the fucking room. Now, eventually, stories had gotten back to Joe Paterno. And what did Joe Paterno do? Why did he get fired in the fucking first place? Because he was enabling and protecting that son of a bitch. He was enabling and protecting this motherfucking abuser because the Republican machine wanted to win these goddamn games. They wanted to bring that motherfucking money into the school, and they were not going to risk that shit by turning in a goddamn pedophile who was on their fucking staff that they knew for a fact was out here abusing fucking children. So no, I don't want to hear a fucking thing about a goddamn Joe Paterno. And why am I bringing this up? Because fucking, you know, Trump had the audacity, had the nerve, had the fucking balls to bring up this fucking man's name, talking about they need to put him back in. Technically, he didn't know that the motherfucker's dead. You know, he had a goddamn, you know, end of life situation when he freaked the fuck out when they finally caught up to him covering up for goddamn Sandusky, and he died. Yeah, I know, he was sick and all that kind of shit, but the fucking threat of what could happen to his ass and the fact that his name was now mud when it came out that he was defending that goddamn freak, he died. And good fucking riddance. God don't like ugly, and he don't like pretty too fucking much either, and that's assuming God even goddamn exists. But in this case, the lightning motherfucking struck his ass, but it hit him too motherfucking late. So if you believe in God, then you really need to question the type of fucking justice that happened here, because Sandusky got away with that shit, and obviously he still has motherfucking supporters, and people were collecting money back then to fucking help his ass out. So here's Trump trying to pander to the goddamn Republicans of Pennsylvania, and he mentions Joe Paterno, a fucking lowlife who should have been standing in the goddamn dock with fucking Sandusky. Matter of fact, the entire fucking Republican Party of Pennsylvania ought to be standing in the fucking dock. Everybody that knew about what the fuck was happening, which it turns out was just about everybody that was anybody in the goddamn Republican Party in Pennsylvania. So yeah, I have a fucking problem with that. Yeah, you know, I have a fucking problem with that. And if you have a problem with me for having a problem with that, well then, you know, fuck you. Fuck you. You know, the Republicans were supporting a goddamn freak. They're full of fucking freaks. Dennis Hastert, what the fuck? The damn Duggar family. That Duck Dynasty crap. All, you know, come on, man. They're all fucking freaks. Tom DeLay, another enabler. Same thing Joe Paterno did, only he did it in the, what is it, the South Marianas Islands, the Marshall Islands, whatever the fuck it is. One of these goddamn quote-unquote protectorates. One of these colonialist protectorates. One of these islands where, you know, the law is quasi, and they have a base there. And white men who have money will fly there. And they go there under the auspices of checking out their business, discussing business, talking about world trade. And, you know, there's all sorts of fucking sex. It's part of the sex tourism. It's part of the sex tourism of Asia. You know, this is why when motherfuckers want to talk to me about Buddhism, and yeah, you know, I am a practicing Buddhist. It is not a motherfucking religion. There is no goddamn faith in it. I'm an Orthodox Buddhist. It is a fucking philosophy, all right? Now, I guess wrapped up in religion because, you know, for some reason, 100 years after the Buddha died, I mean, he was laying under the fucking tree. He was 88. He's like, hey, if you have any motherfucking questions, ask me now. Because once I'm dead, I'm dead. Nobody comes back. And one of the things that they kept fucking asking him was, well, what about life after death? He says, there is no such goddamn thing. You gotta deal with the motherfucking here and now, which is why you gotta fight for justice in the fucking here and now. You gotta fight for fairness in the here and goddamn now, right? But here it is, Buddhism. The official religion of Thailand. Yet Thailand is the center in Asia for the fucking sex trade. For the international fucking sex trade. You know, ask any of your military pals about Pattaya Beach. Or any, you know, contractor, offshore worker. I mean, I know a cat that all he does is repair boats. That's all the fuck he does. He gets sent around the world to repair boats. He can tell you where all the hot spots are anywhere in the motherfucking world, man. He can tell you where all the cat houses are all over the fucking world. And the South Marianas Islands is one of them. Now, besides the fact that they were running the fucking sex trade, or they are running the sex trade out of that little goddamn outpost. Because remember, this is Tom the Hammer DeLay, the moral Republican motherfucker, right? Who got caught up with Bernie Madoff. And what was, Luke, what was the, there was Madoff, Abramoff, who ripped off, what is it, $60, $80 million of Native American money? Yeah. You know, bilking Native American tribes, you know, casino money and shit. Bilking them out of their money. Yeah, well, Well, we can make an argument if they were hanging around the four type of Indians or if they were really trying to improve the system. But, you know, every time I go into a Native community, I see those people who are not connected suffering. I see them literally starving. But for some odd reason, you know, the cousin of the tribal chair or the tribal chief, depending on how they work this system, right? You know, he's got a job, and his wife has a job, and his son has a job. Of course, you know, they all work for the casino, they work for the nation. They're all working. You know, the son's white wife, who isn't Native at all, she's living on things. She's working, right? They are outsourcing jobs for Native, you know, for Native nations all over the place. I mean, I'm in the Pacific Northwest. You go into any Native, you know, any goddamn thing, the chances that you're seeing a white person, and yeah, you can accuse me of racism for this shit if you want to, but, you know, why is it Native people are not running their own goddamn systems? Why are there white teachers on Pine Ridge? Because they didn't allow you to motherfucking learn how to do it. Because you might actually become fucking independent. Yeah, I know I'm going on a tangent. Because, you know, I was actually getting, you know, somewhat disgusted talking about goddamn Sandusky. You know, and that fucking Joe Paterno. Remember the riots that happened after Joe Paterno? Remember how those white students set fire to rubbish bins and pushed over, yet they overturned the goddamn media van. There was a fucking media van. They turned it on its fucking side. They beat up one reporter, and there was some other people that got stomped, and some police were pushed. But you notice that there wasn't one motherfucking arrest. Not one of those white kids was shot by a cop. Not one of those white kids was maced by a cop. Not one of those white kids was dragged. No, nothing. Look it up. You know, same thing with the pumpkin riots. You know, I don't remember what the fuck it was supposed to represent for some goddamn campus. But they call it the pumpkin riots. If you look it up, you'll find it. White kids going berserk, causing damage, hurting people, threatening police officers, and nothing. No arrests, no nothing. You know, according to Fox News, according to Rush Limbaugh, who's slowly losing his audience, if you notice. Well, I don't think it's because of what he's saying. No, Lupe, no. It's not because of what he's saying. You and I are going to have to disagree. Lupe, who doesn't like to use a microphone, thinks that people are just getting tired of him. And I have to disagree. I have to disagree. He's losing listenership, I think, because you got to pay to listen to his goddamn show. I mean, there are some markets where he's still on the radio, but if you want to get his podcast or whatever, yeah, the same thing with Malloy. But see, the thing about Malloy doesn't have the backing. He doesn't have multi-million dollar fucking contracts and shit, you know, like fucking Kincaid either. No. Kincaid is asking for money, and please, you know, help him if you possibly can. Head on radionetwork.com. Go over there, and if you got any extra change, please do what you can to keep him on the air, because really, he's a pal of mine, and really, he and his wife Agnes, and, you know, the son Ferg is now, you know, in on it in terms of helping them produce the show. They really need the support. I'm not fucking kidding about this. He's in Appalachia. Mike Malloy, I don't know where he is in Georgia, because I stay the fuck out of both West Virginia and Georgia, frankly. Yeah, well, the last time I was in Georgia, and I'm not talking about fucking Atlanta, you know, I saw a black lawn jockey. I mean, I saw it one time in... I was on a visit with some relatives in Queens, New York. We went to someone's house, you know, for a it was a Thanksgiving event, and we passed through one of the white neighborhoods. And when I say white neighborhoods, I mean everybody just seemed to be, you know, the men seemed to have beer bellies and were smoking fucking those cheap green Grenadier cigars, and I mean, it looked like something out of the South, you know, when I've been through the South. I mean, really. And this was in the 1970s, but anyway, it was over there, and we passed through to trying to get to where we were supposed to go. I forget what part. I don't know the city that well, but wherever the fuck we were going, I know it was in Queens, the borough of Queens. Or was it province over there? You know, who gives a fuck? Anyway, somebody had a goddamn black lawn jockey on the fucking front of the house. And one of the reasons I remember the instance is because I remember how fucking angry my father got. You know, being Geechee, you know, that really pissed him off. And, you know, when I thought back about it, you know, because I've never really, you know, it's always kind of in the back of my mind. It was like, you know, damn, man. You know, in the 1970s, in the supposedly the most liberal city in the United States, right? You know, because that's why everybody goes there. You know, in Philly, we always looked at, you know, New York City was like, that was it. You know, that was the Mecca. You know, View in the Punk and all that kind of shit. That was the Mecca, because that's where everything was happening, right? Fashion, that's where everything was happening. All of that. And, you know, to see that type of, this, you know, in-your-face abject racism. But then again, I, you know, the few times I've been there, you know, to go see shows, go stay, you know, maybe with a girlfriend for, you know, a little while. The racism over there is just as fucking bad as any place else. You know, and the thing of it is, there's everybody living there. You know, it's an international fucking city. You know, it's like London. And, you know, well, I say London more so than Paris, but you dig what I'm saying? Everybody lives there. Everybody fucking lives there. You know, and it amazes me how many fucking white racist goddamn people there are that come from New York City. Which is not to say that there's not, you know, bigoted black folks over there too, because, you know, I had a cousin that got the hell beat out of him. He's black by black men, you know, because he's gay. He was coming out of a gay bar, and I assume it was a black gay bar, because I didn't, I mean, he's talked to me about what, you know, how, where he used to go, where he used to hang out, and it was somewhere down in the, you know, downtown area, but he was coming out of a place with some other motherfuckers, and these cats jumped out of a car and beat the shit out of him, you know, think they broke his nose, you know, cut his lip real bad. He got hurt. Yeah, I told you about him, because he's been assaulted quite often. He's been, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, the last time we spoke, about 6-7 years ago, I mean, he was really like, hey, I thought all this bullshit was over. Because, you know, he's in his mid-60s now. Well, actually, yeah, he's in his mid-60s now. And, you know, I've always gotten along with him, man. You know, he's just, you know, a really cool cat, man. And whatever he was into, you know, who the fuck cares? You know, I mean, why are people worried about who the fuck is sleeping with who? You know, that really goddamn really bugs the shit out of me. You know, why do you goddamn care? You know, why do you fucking care? You know, it's like, why are you so goddamn interested? You know, and then things are, well, it's bad enough. Yeah, I know, I'm going on a tangent. Just roll with me. Because there's a lot on my mind. You know, as usual. You know, we can talk about this. Well, we're already on this because we're just finished talking about the goddamn freakiness and stupidity of the Republican Party in defending a bastard like Jerry Sandusky and honoring or trying to honor or pander to the Republicans in Pennsylvania by mentioning the fucking filthy name of Joe Paterno. You know, Donald Trump is a fucking moron. And this just goes to show that he'll say whatever the fuck he needs to say to motherfucking get, you know, to get in office. I don't even want to say elected, because if he could buy his motherfucking way in, he would fucking do it. That's not an if. That's a what is. If that son of a bitch got the fucking chance to buy his way into the presidency, to the U.S. presidency, that's exactly what the fuck he would do. And now that we're on it, Lupe found this on Facebook. Because I don't fuck with Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, at The Angry Indian on Twitter. And you can also follow our news feed at Aboriginal Press. But anyway, she says she found this on her account on Facebook, her personal account. And this is a quote from Donald Trump in People Magazine, 1998. If I were to run, this is a quote now, if I were to run, I'd run as a Republican. They're the dumbest group of voters in the country. They love anything on Fox News. I could lie and they still eat it up. I bet my numbers would be terrific. People Magazine, 1998. So there you go. There you motherfucking go. There you go. You know, this is the political fucking class in the United States. The only reason anyone's even looking at this son of a bitch is because he's got money. But his money that's not even fucking his. So, you know, they've been saying some really terrible shit about Bernie Sanders lately. I mean, coming from fucking Democrats. Because, you know, just the last dispatch, you know, I talked about, I'm hearing Democrats now. And a lot of black people, which is really fucking bugging the shit out of me, who are hardcore Hillary's fucking supporters. And they accept the super predators. They accept Bete Caceres. They accept the Honduran coup. They accept the Gaddafi shit. They accept all the fuck-ups. The Iraq war. They accept it all. They accept the greed. You know, we just saw here with the Panama Papers and what her and Obama enabled. They accept it all. You can't, you know, you can't say anything fucking wrong about the Clintons to them. No matter what the fuck they've done to us, by their own goddamn admission. Because Bill is trying to save face for Hillary, and he's running around saying, yeah, I fucked up. I'm this big dog Clinton, you know, I'm fucked up. You know, and everybody's just like, oh, yeah, okay, Bill. Wow, man, really. You know, and it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I understand women are upset about this shit, but I don't give a fuck about his goddamn affairs. You know, Jennifer Flowers and whatever, who the fuck cares, man? You know, that's between him, her, and his wife. And whatever fucking deity they believe in. See, you know, real goddamn Republicans, and I'm not talking about that Ken Starr goddamn hypocritical freak, you know, the fucking Federalist, who, according to rumor, is a moral fucking midget his goddamn self when it comes to his own personal motherfucking life. I don't know how true that is, you know, but that's what I heard. But I am saying, you know, and quote me on this, I don't know how true it is, but that's what I heard. You know, now, I heard rumors about John Bolton, too. And, you know, I've heard that that shit is more than rumor. I heard it's motherfucking true. That he, you know, forced his wife to engage in sex parties with him and orgies and shit with him, wife swapping, whatever with him. You know, hey, man, I'm totally down with supporting freaks. But see, real freaks like to fuck with other people who are into their sort of kink. And it's mutual. There's consent. You know, whatever fucking fantasy. You know, that's why I don't want to hear from people who are like, oh, well, you know, women don't like this, women don't like that. How, you know, it may be in the general. But, you know, there are women, there are men, there are all kinds of people in between now since we, you know, must acknowledge every goddamn, you know, facet of human life and endeavor. You know, except the shit that we don't want to motherfucking acknowledge, like this. Well, yeah, this is one of the hypocrisies I'm talking about, because you get folks who do not like the idea of, and look, I'm guilty of hypocrisies too, you know, who don't let, yeah, because we just had this discussion with some people the other day, the idea of a strip bar, they find completely fucking disgusting. Now, I mean, I've been to, you know, several, right, you know, with other men, and in three of those cases, it was with couples. And, you know, you could, just like I said with prostitution, you can make a motherfucking argument in terms of levels for a lot of goddamn things. Now, I've been in some seedy motherfucking joints. And then I've been in other places which were kind of in the nether world of, you know, acceptable shabby chic. That's what my wife, right? I never heard of shabby chic before. She gave me a lecture on it several days ago. Yeah, like Mary's Club, for example. I mean, how many couples go to Mary's Club? It's a famous strip bar here in Portlandia. I don't even know if it's still around because I don't go down there anymore. But, yeah, no, I haven't been to Chinatown in a while. But you know what I'm saying. It's around the corner from the Church of Elvis, if that's even fucking still there anymore. Yeah, I only go down there when I go to Powell's, man, you know. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is, you can have an elevated motherfucking place where, you know, I suppose, where you're doing real burlesque, right? Where it's sexy, where women can come in there and feel whatever. I mean, I suppose you can make that argument. But of course, there are going to be a lot of women. It's going to be exploitation no matter how the fuck you look at it. And they're right. But see, the thing about it is at the same time, because, I think they're right. I mean, you're being a Latina, you know, you're used to, because we talked about it in that same discussion. You watch the television from the Dominican Republic, what have you, you see thicker hips, bigger bodies, but it's the same sexualism, right? You know, the cat is up there singing whatever the fuck, you know, all the soledad, whoever the fuck, you know, they're singing whatever. And the chick isn't doing a goddamn thing but standing there. She's not singing. She does stands there and, you know, shakes her culo and turns around and smiles and winks and bobs and shit to the music. It's total sexualization. It's got nothing to do with anything. I mean, I was watching a ska documentary a couple of days ago. And I don't know what the fuck was that? No, I don't remember the name of the band. I don't know what the fuck that the point of the band, whoever it was. And it wasn't a classical ska band, you know. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about second, you know, first or second wave. I'm talking about what's going on now. Yeah, like the No Doubt type of shit. And fucking, I don't care for their music. Well, I'm glad that you do, Blue. But I don't particularly care for that. I don't consider it ska. That's me. All right, so, you know, anyhow. Well, I still listen to Derek Morgan, so how the fuck would I consider that ska? Look, we don't need to have this discussion right now. Well, my point is that, you know, they had this woman on the stage. They had this chick up there, and she stripped down. Yeah, she stripped down. It's like, what the fuck did that have to do with anything? What the fuck does that have to do with ska? You know, what the fuck did that have to do with anything? So, you know, no. You know, I can't. You know, I mean, I'm all for sexuality, man. I am not a motherfucking prude. But, you know, there's ways to goddamn do things, man. There's a time and a place for every motherfucking thing. And I just thought that was inappropriate. And just, you know, a use of sexuality that didn't make any goddamn sense because it wasn't related to anything. And, no, I don't remember the song. But, you know, and even if it was about a sexual thing, for at a ska show for a chick to strip on stage... Nah, that left a bad taste in my mouth. Sorry. That really did. Because I just don't see what the point was. I don't see how it was relative. Now, it's just like if I'm watching a film. If you're going to have violence in a film, okay. If you're going to have, you know, explosions, you're going to have torture, you're going to have a sex scene, okay, you know, I don't feel that there needs to be censorship on anything, but have some kind of goddamn artistic something going on, you know, because what there was no connection. Now, we already have women being abused enough. I don't see the point in saying that kind of shit is necessarily okay just because. And now, see, here's where my contradictions come in, because I had no problem with, you know, overt, and, you know, say above board motherfucking sexuality, gay, straight, whatever the fuck. I really don't. But, you know, it doesn't mean that I go for every goddamn thing. And I really get tired of fucking people saying that preferences are somehow prejudices. Well, yeah, because remember, we had two women to come on and talk about this. And no matter what I asked them, even when you were part of the interview, they still accused me of being a sexist. And being a racist, right? Okay, here's where I'm going with this. This is not... Let's just roll with this because it's on my mind and I might as well motherfucking talk about it now. One of the things that I got into, and this was a sister. Not going to name her. She's someone that I met on Twitter. She agreed to come on the show to talk about interracial dating. And everything seemed, you know, fine, because of course I don't support or stand by and think that anybody should be kept or barred or cajoled or whatever the fuck into not being with somebody that they want to be with because they belong to a different group, be it ethnic, religious, cast, whatever the fuck. You know, I would think anybody who's been listening to this show, who has read anything I've ever goddamn written, would know by now that that's just crazy. But at the same fucking time, I have a problem when you are so fucking colonialized or so fucked up in your caste bullshit that you don't even want to fucking be bothered with your own people. There's a difference between, you know, self-hate and self, you know, motherfucking aggrandizement. I mean, there's a big fucking difference. You know, I mean, matter of fact, we had just kind of talked about this on this show. Marlon Riggs did a documentary. He was the black filmmaker from the South who was openly gay. He was teaching film in New York City. I don't know where, but I know he had students because his students actually finished his last film. He passed away. He transitioned before the film was done. And it was called Black Is, Black Ain't. And he openly talked about the, because one of the poets I admired, he's gone too. He's expired, transitioned, Essex Hemphill. I believe he passed away in New York City, but he was also from the South. And he was a little more Afrocentric. I mean, not to the point of, you know, being an Afrocentric fascist with the kente cloth, but I mean, he was very pro-black. And his poetry, of course, was about the black gay male experience. Now, Riggs, on the other hand, was very honest. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, he was somewhere like me in this, very honest about his Tommy. You know, I've never said that I'd never motherfucking Uncle Tom'd here, because that's exactly what the goddamn, you know, I did. But I've also explained that because of the time period and where I grew up, because, you know, remember, a lot of how you articulate and break down and deconstruct the world about you has to do with who the fuck you are, where you are, and what time period you're involved in, and how many opportunities you had, and how many opportunities you didn't goddamn have, and who you were raised by, and what you basically was initially motherfucking, you know, imbued with. In terms of your thought processes, in terms of how you're supposed to you know, analyze things within a cultural, or if you want to get real serious, a socio-political fucking and cultural sense. So what I mean by that is, if you're a black man and you grow up in a black community, of course, especially before the internet and before everybody goddamn, because when I was growing up, not everybody had a TV. Right? Not everyone had a television, man. You know, people didn't have any goddamn money. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a given for those things. You know, everybody had a fucking radio pretty much, but not everybody that I grew up with had a fucking television. The black community in which I fucking grew up in, I've talked about this. It was working class, but a lot of folks didn't have TV. A lot of people didn't have cars and shit. You dig what I'm saying? A lot of people just didn't have, man. So, you know, for all of us, including myself, you know, when I fantasized about women and that type of shit, I didn't fantasize about white women. I didn't see any white women. You know what I mean? Except what? A teacher? There were no female cops back then. You know, there were very few, if any, because I don't remember any as a kid. They were all white males. And they all had evil fucking faces and shit. You know, that's what I remember. But the only white women we tended to see were either on television or when you went to school, because they would, you know, come into the ghetto and teach and then go the fuck back to their suburb. And, you know, when I thought about women, the fuck, I was thinking about Lola Falana and shit, you know. You know what I mean? I was thinking about Pam Grier. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't motherfucking thinking about Marilyn Monroe and all that type of shit. You know, I was introduced to that type of thing later on. I was introduced to that later on because I had the reinforcement of being surrounded by black people and being surrounded by women who were not built like these other white women. I mean, when you watch television from back then, white women were kind of, you know, straight up and down, you know, or they were on like the kind of thick side. But compared to the average sister, man, you know, the black female body is a beautiful goddamn thing. It is. You know, and still, you know, my preference has always been for brown, you know, if not necessarily black. I like brown, which does not mean that I'm not attracted to white women. I mean, obviously, I'm a motherfucking Tom, which implies what? You know, I mean, for a lot of sisters, you know, I mean, I'm married now and have been, you know, for quite some time. But my point is, a lot of sisters wouldn't fuck with me. Because, Luke, you and I have talked about this. A lot of black women would not fuck with me because they knew I had been with white women. And it wasn't like I was dirty or anything like that. See, you get that kind of shit from white men. Because, you know, some of my white girlfriends, I wasn't the first non-white fella they had been with. And most white men consider them to be damaged motherfucking goods. Matter of fact, my wife has a friend. She was told that to her fucking face. You fuck the black man, you're dirty. I don't want you. You know, and I have to say this too. I know white men. There's a relationship right now that I'm thinking of. I mean, it's for all accounts and purposes. I mean, he treats his wife just like anybody else. He is a white cat married to a Filipina, and they got a really cool son, you know. I have to say this. He's only one of a handful. And I can really only think of three white men who are married to Asian women who treat their wives well. Most of the other motherfuckers that I've known in my life, and I hate to say this, many of them were fucking sailors or Marines. They treated their motherfucking Asian wives poorly. If not goddamn terribly. To the fucking point where, you know, they were beating them up. I mean, we all fucking knew about it. And they actually were justified. Talking about how backwards their wives were. Because the Philippines, where she came from, the fucking barrio in the Philippines, was backwards. You know, and we can all sit here and talk about these goddamn horror stories. But see, the thing about it is, talking about that is being real about it. It doesn't mean, oh, interracial relationships are wrong. You know, you really do have people out here that will say, oh, I don't agree with the homosexual lifestyle. Well, frankly, if you ask 10 of these motherfuckers what their opinion on what the fuck they think the homosexual lifestyle is, they'll give you 13 fucking answers. And then start to crawl amongst each other about the answers. And it's all negative. They don't know any goddamn thing. You know, even the shit that they think is positive is really just condescending. And, you know, which again means negative, right? You know, the assumption that if you're a gay male, for example, you know more about makeup. So you can just like, you know, hey, you know, help my wife with her makeup. Can you help her? Because, you know, I just figured that, you know, you guys. I mean, that's an understandable stereotype. But, you know, let's use some real fucking human Cartesian goddamn common sense to stop bullshitting each other and worrying about what's being said on the fucking View. And you're just going to, you know, make an assumption. Not because, well, he's neat, he understands fashion, look at his shoes, he's got good shoes, so he must know about makeup. No, you're making that assumption simply because he's gay. But it's an understandable goddamn assumption in many fucking cases. You know, come the fuck on. There is such a thing as a goddamn velvet mafia. There are gay men I know. That's what the fuck they do. They're estheticians. They do hair. There is some truth to that. There is some fucking truth to that. But see, the thing is, we can't actually have a conversation about this shit without somebody being terribly goddamn offended. And then going to the other degree, well, you know, you either should stop it all together. Like, you know, it's bad to use, well, no. See, why isn't it bad to use nigger? It is, but it supposedly depends on the context. But what I just said about gay people, though, that just went over everybody's fucking head. But they can understand why, if this white guy's cool enough, like, say, Channing Tatum type of white dude, and he wants to give you, you know, a motherfucking, you know, a pound and a bear hug and shit, and say, hey, my nigga, what's up? And I'm supposed to be cool with this. I don't know him from Adam. He just comes up to me like this because he knows you that way. You know, what the fuck? See, you know, we've never really had a discussion about how, you know, these goddamn stereotypes and how these fucking racial castes and shit popped up in the first place. And yeah, right? Yeah, I'm supposed to talk about caste too because people haven't liked what I've been saying about Tulsi Gabbard, which is funny because I haven't said shit about Tulsi Gabbard. You know, I fucking reposted some material that shows that she's friendly to Hindu fascism, and likes to narrow Muslims out for being religious extremists when she's supporting Modi and fascism in India with what she's doing. You know, they actually didn't want to let Modi in the United States. They had a they're going to ban a visa for him because of Hindu violence that was going on that he pretty much encouraged. You know, kind of like what Trump's doing, but hasn't gotten exactly that far yet. And, you know, people were killed. So she was like, no, no, you can't do that. You got to let him in because we got to keep relations and all that because Pakistan, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, she's making big hay now because she's a Bernie Sanders supporter. Look, I'm not a diddlehead Bernie Sanders supporter. I support Bernie Sanders, but that's a question. There's a couple of things that he's voted on. He needs to be challenged on it. Doesn't mean I'm not supporting him, but he needs to be challenged on this type of shit. But yeah, you know, I was called a Pakistani. I'm not Pakistani. I was called a Muslim. I'm not Muslim. You know, motherfucker even went so far as to say I'm a supporter of ISIS. And I told him, motherfucker, prove that. Fucking prove that. You know, people have been saying that. Fucking prove that. You gonna put that shit on a public fucking forum, try to badjack me, you dumb son of a bitch. Fucking prove that. And so yeah, I challenged him to that bullshit. I challenged him to fucking prove it. And I also pointed out how fucking wrong he was on most of the shit he was saying about everything he was talking about. And he never fucking came back. There were two of them I had to deal with. And he said, no, three. Over like a 2-3 day fucking period, right? Fuck that. Anyway, yeah, what was that talking about? Stereotypes. Yeah, how did we get to this goddamn point? And it's like, why do we accept some stereotypes but not others? Now, like the fried chicken and black folk stereotype. Yeah, that is a goddamn stereotype. Especially since the Scots-Irish are the ones that brought fried chicken to the United States in the first place. Brought it to the South in the first place. You know, the idea of frying chicken in, you know, in oil, that's a Scots idea. So if the slaves picked it up, the slaves picked it up. What the fuck you mean that we, you know, that's our thing? No. Right, black folks in music. I mean, yeah, it's kind of embarrassing to fuckers like me, but let's be straight here. When it comes to music, when it comes to dancing, black folks, I'm sorry. You know, there's a certain corner that we motherfucking, it's part of us, is there. Right, what they say, the Irish sing, the Italians are about family, black people got their music. Okay, you know, that's the American experience. There's some truth to that. But, you know, what about the black folks that don't dance? There's a whole lot of black folks that don't have rhythm, man. You know. They become Republicans. Right? They start dating white girls. You start listening to, you know, Iron Maiden and fucking AC/DC. Right? You're probably really good at school, man. You probably like science and you're really good at English fucking lit. You know, that's the experience, man. You know, these are contradictions. You know, how could somebody of color grow up in the fucking United States and not be goddamn confused, man? And now that things have spread out and we have many more immigrants, more than before, from places that we never really had substantial numbers before, these questions are popping up in terms of what is identity and sexuality and shit. I mean, we're at the point now, and, you know, Loop and I don't know, you know, I mean, my wife and I talk about it at, you know, at home, because we have relatives and we have friends whose children are now telling them, you know, I'm not what I was born as. And I mean, this just seems to be like every goddamn buddy. You know, they're not. I mean, it's just a lot of confusion. And yes, I'm gonna fucking say this. I'm gonna say, you know, yeah. Well, yeah. We didn't know if we should talk about it because of how people would fucking read it. Because they're gonna say, oh well, you know, you're against trans people. No, the fuck I'm not. Or you're anti-gay. No, the fuck I'm not. So what, in order to be pro-gay, I have to prove to you that I stood in the fucking middle of, or was on my fucking knees in the middle of Main Street? In the middle of Main Street, sucking dick for fucking 30 minutes to prove to you that I don't hate gay people? Because that's part of my other argument. Look, you can say that you don't motherfucking have, you know, you're not keen with what the fuck it is. And it's a real bullshit goddamn argument anyway to come up with why I was raised that way. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, I'm against the, you know, I'm against gay people because I was raised that way. So you were raised to hate? Oh no, I wasn't raised to hate. Well, yeah, the fuck you were. If you don't use that as a goddamn excuse, you were raised to hate. But you know, a lot of fucking gay folks, a lot of gay activists anyway, because it's mostly the activists, need to motherfucking get a grip.
You know, people don't have to like what the fuck you do. They don't have to like what the fuck you do, man. You know, you're going to run into motherfucking people who don't like you. Period. You know, whether they know who you fuck with, or how you dress, or what religion you fucking follow, or whether you're vegan or vegetarian. You know, some people are just not going to like you because they don't like your fucking face, man. They're going to judge you on the way you walk. Read The Fucking Catcher in the Goddamn Rye. I mean, that's what the whole point of the fucking book was. How negative most of us fucking are. We don't act on it. But how we judge people without admitting that we fucking judge people. You know, I mean, if I'm usually, you know, I say to myself, oh, well, you know, look at this cat, this, that, and the other. And then I get over it because I realize it's stupid. But how many fucking people really give themselves that kind of goddamn pause? That does hate for no motherfucking reason. Who hate mostly because they're motherfucking inadequate. And that's where I think a lot of this shit comes from. See, now, it's hypocritical of me to come down on fascism in the United States and fascism in Europe and then not come down on fascism in the black community, fascism in Africa, fascism in Asia, fascism in India, since we just finished talking about that, right? Fascism in South America. There's fascism in the fucking Native American community. It doesn't identify itself that way. But this, I mean, Native community in the United States, in Indian country, is conservative any goddamn way. But there are some people who are ultra fucking conservative. Ultra fucking conservative. And we can make an argument, and I have made this argument, that, yeah, like for example, when Ray Robinson Jr. turned up missing, when he showed up at Wounded Knee in 1973. They're native people to this day that won't talk to me. We were cool for years. And then the day I asked them about Ray Robinson, they stopped fucking talking to me. Because we all know something shady went down, but they're native. And, you know, the Wounded Knee thing was a necessary thing. I support what happened at Wounded Knee. But we also motherfucking know that a black man showed up and he was murdered. And we don't know where the fuck he's buried. And nobody's ever dropped down. And we've heard different stories about, well, you know, he showed up with a bad attitude. Well, then tell him to fucking get lost. You know, oh, well, he didn't want to pick up a gun and fight. Well, he was a pacifist. He wasn't going to do that. So you kill him? You know? There does been different stories, but nobody really knows for sure because nobody's willing to drop dime, right? Anna Mae Kwa, same thing. I mean, John Graham is sitting up there. I don't want to misquote anybody's name, but there's John Graham, and then All a Looking Cloud, right? He's caught up in that. But you know what really motherfucking happened? You know, Russell Means is gone now, and he made some allegations before he passed. War Churchill, as far as I know, is still, you know, running around. You know what really motherfucking happened? What really happened? We owe that to Leonard Peltier to discuss what the fuck really happened. Now, in the case of Anna Mae Kwa, I'm of the mind that because the FBI had badjacketed her, because that's the rumor in Indian country, in activist circles, is that she was badjacketed by a couple of Asians from the Bureau, trying to get her to basically be bait so they could smoke out some American Indian movement people. And that's probably true, but we need to discuss what the fuck happened to point out how COINTELPRO was working against the Native Liberation Movement. But once we do that, that also means we have to start opening the books and looking at the fascistic aspects of the American Indian Movement. Which doesn't mean that I'm anti-AIM, but we got to fucking point out a few things here. That almost every organization that fucking first starts off has a fucking neo-fascist edge to it. The Black Panther Party started out like that, kind of matured out of that once the women got into it,
But with the pressures of COINTELPRO trying to set them up against the Vice Lords in Chicago, trying to set them up for antagonization against the U.S. slaves in Washington, D.C., right? Split into factions. Once Elaine Brown got in, right? Once Elaine Brown got in, depending on who you ask, you know, you start having dissensions and differences. Because there are people who still want to say to me, oh, well, you know, when Elaine Brown came in and she brought in the homosexuals, that's what broke up the party. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. What ended up happening was that some women started to fucking point out that, hey, you know, there's a lot of gay people in this motherfucking movement, too. Bide Rustin is out there ripping and running, too. Now, he may not be going to the extent that we're going with this shit, but he's out there, too. James Baldwin was no motherfucking slouch. We can't discount these brothers and sisters. Audre Lorde and shit, we can't discount these brothers and sisters. So they opened up. You know, that did not destroy the motherfucking Black Panther Party for self-defense. What destroyed the fucking Black Panther Party for self-defense was COINTELPRO. What destroyed the Black Panther Party for self-defense was the fact that one of the motherfucking leaders, one of the goddamn founders, Huey P. Newton, started to get into the motherfucking drug trade. You gotta understand something. There was a Huey P. Newton who went into the fucking California prison system, and there was a Huey P. Newton, Dr. Huey P. Newton, who came out of the motherfucking California prison system. Look at the eyes of the pre-prison Huey Newton, and look at the eyes of the post-prison Huey Newton. And somebody else who I respect. Why can't I? John Stockwell. Former case officer for the Central Intelligence Agency, wrote two books that you should read about his time in the agency. Matter of fact, you should read it for the simple fact that he was working with Savimbi in Africa. You should look at that. You should read that, because he talks about what happened, what really happened to Patrice Lumumba and who was responsible for that, what really happened with that. So John Stockwell pointed out that if you look at what the fuck was going on with Huey P. Newton, that he was a direct result of a COINTELPRO operation in liaison with what the agency had going on in terms of chemical motherfucking warfare. Hello? But see, we're not talking about that shit like that. We're talking about removing gender all fucking together. This is the big fucking news. When I'm going to house gatherings, right, is because almost everybody who has a young person is having to answer questions about this. So to either, you know, like some of my white friends talking about, yeah, you know, my daughter came home and said something really, you know, inappropriate, and it sounded like something Trump is saying, and she actually said that that's, you know, The person that she heard it from was a Trump supporter. So we're already seeing articles, and I just gave you an anecdote on how the fascism of Trump is leaking into the fucking lingo of young Americans. And then on the other goddamn aspect, instead of just being who the fuck you are and trying to figure out who the fuck you are, they're looking at the internet and deciding, well, you know, because the same, you know, one of the reasons why I'm saying this, Loop, is that I saw this when Boy Georgia first become known in the United States. He was on that show, Solid Gold. Well, not he, but Culture Club. They were on the show Solid Gold. And it was like overnight. All of a sudden, everybody was talking about drag queens and cross-dressing. And transsexual, because transgender wasn't a term. You know, transgender as a term was not used by most straight people. It might have been used in the community, or at least in the more politicized areas of the community. But it was not, you know, transgender. It was usually transsexual, cross-dresser, right? And because a lot of people don't understand that a lot of transsexuals are not necessarily homosexual. Eddie Izzard, my wife's favorite comedian, is transsexual, but he's not transgender, and he's heterosexual in his sexual taste, but he wears makeup, he does whatever,
And we can make an argument on why that is. Psychological argument. You know, that obviously is tied into culture, which is tied into social politics. I mean, if you're growing up in Portland, I suppose, I'm not young, but if you're growing up in Portland, I suppose, and you're in your 20s, and you want to wear a dress as a male and have a beard at the same time, which I have to admit, personally, freaks me the fuck out. I've never had a problem with drag queens, and no, I have no fucking problems with transsexuals and shit, but, you know, if you're going to wear a dress, I don't see the fucking point in wearing a beard. If you're going to have if you're going to do the bangles and you're going to do the whole thing, why the fuck did you... Yeah, that cat from won the Eurovision a couple of years ago. Hey, that's... You want to call it a prejudice? Call it whatever the fuck you want. But see, but this is what I'm saying in terms of we have to be able to really be able to talk to each other. So someone is going to ding me because I'm not particularly crazy about seeing men in dresses. Or for that matter, I don't like beards on any goddamn body. Or for fucking seeing beards on women, facial hair on women. Look, I've had lesbians want to argue with me about that. And my argument back to them was, why must I find that attractive? What the fuck are you saying that I have to goddamn find that attractive? That I'm a bigot if I don't like it? That I'm a bigot if I wouldn't be sexual with a woman who has that amount of facial hair to the point where she's trimming it and keeping it neat, who purposely took hormones to grow a bit. Why am I saying it like that, dear listener? Because I've known women who have purposely done that. I'm going back to the 90s with what I'm talking about now. On the East Coast, who were taking hormones and shit and were shaving their faces. These are women that I knew who were lesbians who did that on purpose. And it was a particular fetish, I guess, that they had. Well, one, she told me that it was. The other, I guess she was trying to make a political point. I don't know. But this is before, you know, people really started scientifically, and I mean that, medically changing genders. Because before that, you wore a fucking dress if you were male, if you identified as female or in between. And there are plenty of people in between. And I understand that, you know, that's what the term queer is supposed to represent, but I don't like how you got to that point, because you made the argument, because I was in a lot of these goddamn political meetings where this shit came up. And it was like, oh, well, you know, black people call themselves nigger because that takes the sting out of it. That was a whole lot of bullshit. Those motherfuckers, Eazy-E and whoever the fuck else, niggas with an attitude, were just trying to sell some fucking records. They weren't making any goddamn political fucking statements. They were street kids that were trying to make motherfucking money. And they said, okay, here's a white reporter coming from Spin or Rolling Stone or whatever the fuck it was in. I know I'm being redundant because I've talked about it before, but this shit needs to be discussed. On how we ended up so goddamn confused as a fucking society and not understanding why people aren't fucking getting along with each other. You have to fucking be clear about fucking something. This place was never meant to be a multicultural goddamn melting pot. That's a crock that was created to explain why there's so many goddamn people here. This was supposed to be a whites-only goddamn country. Ask any motherfucking Native American. Unless he's a kiss-ass, hang around the motherfucking Ford Indian and shit, who thinks that white people somehow brought him fucking culture, brought him knowledge. Or her. Or in between. Because that's another goddamn reason why I'm like this. Two-spirited people are not homosexual. Two-spirited people cannot be connected in any real broad sense to transgenderism, only in a broad sense. In the broadest of fucking senses, in order for things to be able to be understood by white folks. Two spirits are two spirits. We recognize from two to fucking eight genders if you were to look at it in a fourth world fucking perspective. And I'm not just talking about the United States. And a lot of Native Americans need to understand that shit too. The two-spirit fucking tradition, as we understand it here, also exists in the Philippines. It also exists in Africa. Okay? Where it probably, if we want to be technical about the origins of the human fucking species, began. It is not limited to us. But yes, you know, as far as the term two-spirit and what have you, like shaman for the Russians, or the people over there in Siberia, you know, calling Native American medicine people shamans is really, especially if you know the difference, it's kind of disrespectful. I understand why you're doing it, but, you know, and it leads to a lot of confusion.
you know, I mean, a lot of us will politely correct you on it. But see, the problem is we politely correct you because this has happened to me, and then you want to motherfucking argue about, well, you just do what the fuck you want. Because you got a right to fucking do it because basically you're a white person and this is what how you understand it, and that's how I have to fucking live with it. Period. And then you don't understand why we have attitudes. You see.
But, you know, let's you know, fucking face facts. This place was never meant to be a multicultural fucking society. You know, they were wiping out fucking Indians. They brought blacks in for labor and didn't want to buy the ships to fucking send us back to Africa. You know, there was some sent to Grenada as an experiment and then some sent to what became Liberia. But it was only done so that they could put black people there to front for white businesses that wanted to exploit these motherfucking regions and wipe out the fucking population that was already there. The same thing happened with Jews with the Uganda plan. And it wasn't like they were sucked into it. They knew exactly what the fuck they were doing. Theodore Herzl went up and down goddamn Europe. Went to the Kaiser. Went to the Tsar. Right? Some of the most racist and anti-Jewish motherfucking heads of state in Europe and said, look, we'll fight whoever the fuck you want us to fight, provided we can have a piece of fucking land. And then after a while, they settled on Palestine after the British-Israeli movement got into it. Don't fucking tell me, man. Because General Allenby, who walked into motherfucking Palestine on foot during World War I, was a British-Israeli. And Winston Churchill, who was not a British-Israeli, but realized the political motherfucking advantage of having a white outpost in Palestine, said, yeah, put them over there. What about the brown people? They're brown. Gas them out, bomb them out, do whatever the fuck you need to do. They're brown. I don't give a fuck. Let's get rid of them. When you look at what the BBC has reported on fucking Churchill and various chroniclers have reported on Winston Churchill, he was a nationalist son of a bitch who never apologized for imperialism, and he didn't give a fuck about Jews. He was a Judeophobe. Look at the fuck up. So yeah, so Eazy-E is sitting in front of a white reporter and knew, I can tell this white boy any goddamn thing and he'll fucking report this shit as fact. And that's exactly what the fuck happened. Nigga means it's a good thing, man. It means this, that, and yeah. Terrence Howard of Empire fame. I've said this before too, redundantly. He sat on the fucking, what was it, Greg Kilborn? Scotsman. One of them who's got a fucking chat show here in the States. He had him up there talking about, yeah, say nigga, man. Hey, you know, it's just a word, you know. And he's like, I don't want to say it. He goes, oh, come on, man. It's just a word. Everybody should say it. It's like, man, what the fuck are you trying to do, man? But then again, he's on Empire, which is on Fox, the most racist, motherfucking race-baiting, hateful, misogynist, ugly, non-news station out there with Lee Daniels, who will take money from a white motherfucker. You know, he doesn't give a fuck about what the hell is going on out here. He doesn't care about the racism of goddamn Fox. I'm sure that he's justifying his relationship with Fox as we're opening up the floor for black voices in conservative media. No, you're not. All you're opening that shit up is for bullshit, all right? They need the black vote, and they need the gay vote in order to motherfucking win election 2016 while they're cutting out black fucking people from every goddamn thing, legally and extra legally, and trying to fucking, you know, decide who can go to what goddamn bathroom, who can go to what motherfucking toilet, right? You know, it's like, come on, man. You know, putting Empire, and like I said, that shit was not meant for no fucking second season. They extended that motherfucker because what? White people are watching it. White people who like to play nigga are watching motherfucking Empire. Come on, man. I know too many motherfucking white women. Some of them I used to fuck with who told me. They said, man, you know, you get these white guys, they want to play gangster on you when they get you in the bed. They want to talk to you like, you know, trying to pretend that they're Wesley Pipes or some fucking buddy. You know, the fucking, the porn actor. Yeah, Luke, you know who the fuck I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know who the fuck I'm talking about. Wesley motherfucking Pipes. Don't tell me you don't know who the fuck I'm talking about. Whatever. I know you know who the fuck I'm talking about. You know, I mean, he's got a mouth on him, man. He says all kinds of shit. You dig what I'm saying? And, you know, they want to do the whole thug porn thing because it's white people that are buying that shit. It's white people that are watching that shit. I don't know too many black people that are in the porn. And the ones that have, you know, we've had conversations about it, they're looking at white girls. They're not looking at black women. You know? I mean, look, man, it's all bullshit. I mean, Bob Kincaid,
remember my homie from HeadOnRadioNetwork.com.
Like I said, check him out. He was early this week. He was on his show and pointed out that I had never heard of it before. X Hamster, but I looked it up after he talked about it. X Hamster is a porn site, and I mean it's from a little bit I looked at. I mean it's kind of like regular people submitting their own stuff, right? Homegrown or something they call it. So the company is boycotting North Carolina. And see, his was fucking funny. You got Bruce Springsteen, who I like. I'm not against him. Brian Adams and whoever the fuck. They're all boycotting North Carolina about this shit. All these companies boycotting North Carolina. How come they're not boycotting these fucking states for fucking the murder of black people in police custody? See, Cricket's on that, right? But this porn site is boycotting them too. Apparently, when you get to the, if you're from North Carolina, if you go to the site, there's a starter page, a warning page, whatever it is, a 404 page it's called, and usually, and that's the numbers you see, talking about, well, you know, you come from a state that is against homosexuality or whatever, and I didn't see it, but apparently, I guess they got the stats, and what Bob was talking about on his show is that they look up a lot of gay motherfucking porno over there. In North Carolina. For a state that doesn't like gay people, they sure like to look at a lot of swinging dick over there. You know, and I'm sure some of it is female. Because, you know, women look at porn just as much as men. I don't even want to hear that shit. It's just like when somebody's trying to tell me, got into a fucking disagreement with a pal of mine, talking about, oh, women don't fuck around like that. That's a lie. That's a lie. I got sisters and female friends, homes. That's a lie, man. They're just motherfucking more cagey about it. You know, and because women don't goddamn matter to most motherfuckers, right? They're not even paying attention to what the fuck she's doing. You know, just like cats, I know they think they're slick. Oh, my wife doesn't know I'm fucking around. She's letting you think that she doesn't know that you're fucking around. What, are you fucking stupid? You know, that's what you fucking think. She knows full well what the fuck you're doing, Holmes. She knows full well what the fuck you're doing, man. And she knows when you're not regular when you fucking come home. You know, you don't think she smells that other woman on you when you come home? See, thinking that women are stupid is stupid. That's like when fuckers tell me all prostitutes are dumb. No, you might have some dumb prostitutes, but prostitutes are not dumb. Especially not if they fucking have survived. If they got any goddamn, you know, tenure. Then I'm fucking stupid. They got to be able to fucking deal with that trick and get that money and get out of there. They got to be able to motherfucking not get hurt. They gotta fucking avoid the police. They gotta avoid all kinds of goddamn pitfalls and shit. The fuck you talking about? They're stupid. They gotta avoid disease. The fuck you mean stupid? You know, that's those chicks are not stupid. They're street smart. The type of intelligence that they have works for their motherfucking environment. You drop one of these, well, actually, if you drop, you know, one of these rich Ivanka Trump, and I'm not talking about her. But you understand what I'm saying. If you drop one of them into that type of situation, they would understand better what the fuck to do than some middle class square chick, man. Because what? You think what happens up above doesn't happen fucking below? Again, you know, motherfuckers don't realize who they're talking to. I've been everywhere the grass fucking grows green, man. I've known rich people. You think they don't bother, you know, with sex and shit? You know, if you don't get me a fucking car, don't get me this type of house or whatever. No ass for you, Holmes. No cho-cha for you, you know, nothing, nada. So, you know, I mean, come on, you really fucking, come on, man. You hear these motherfuckers complain about this shit in court. Oh, well, I don't want to pay this much in you know, whatever to this chick, man. We've been married for 3 years. She didn't let me have, you know, she cut me off from sex a year and a half ago. Well, that's her prerogative. Well, it's my prerogative not to motherfucking give her half of every fucking thing I got when she wasn't fucking me. Come on, man. I know women who are literally, this isn't an anti-woman fucking thing to say. There are chicks out there that know they have the looks, they got the body, and they learn how to carry themselves, and they don't feel that they have to pay for shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, if they can get a sex tape out there,
and then get a music video from that and catch, you know, nowadays because of the media, right, because of the fucking internet. The internet just fucked everything up, man. You know, you can get into a scandal now and build a motherfucking career based on that goddamn scandal. Matter of fact, people are making sex tapes and purposely leaking them, hoping to get a deal. I used to know Hollywood motherfuckers, man. They say, yeah, man, we get shit sent to us all the fucking time. You know? Trying to get famous. Because they look at Kim Kardashian and, what is that? That Snooki from Jersey Shore, right? I mean, you know, they could have went to the Jersey Shore and picked any number of fucking young people. You know, because, I mean, they really do represent in many ways what the fuck is going on out there. And there's a whole lot of communities like that, so I'm not picking on Jersey per se. But, you know, I mean, you go Newark, Tom's River, you know, I mean, you can find exactly what the fuck you're looking for, you know, and plus some, anywhere around the planet. You dig what I'm saying? But again, we're not going to be realistic about it. We're going to be like the church and pretend that, you know, nothing's really fucking happening. We're going to pretend that nothing's fucking happening. You know, there's no money being laundered. There's no, you know, sexual abuse going on. Right? You had the previous fucking pope, the one who, he's Pope Prefect or whatever the fuck it is. He's still in there. He's still at the Basilica. You know, I don't know what his role is, but he's still around. Ratzinger, the former Hitler Youth. You know, the cat that the night that he left, the fucking stroke of lightning hit the goddamn head of the Basilica and shit. Basilica, yo, that motherfucker, man, his gentleman in waiting. Now, this is the cat that waits on the Pope. This is his personal fucking valet. You know, gets his robes out, pulls out his Prada slippers, all of that. Yo, there was a fucking scandal because the police had tapped the phones of the Vatican. Evidently, they do that in Italy. Right? They tapped the goddamn phones for a criminal investigation into some money laundering or some shit, and they found out that the gentleman in waiting was procuring some of the best male street meat that could be found in Rome. High-classed call boys. And, you know, you would think that that would have brought the motherfucking church down. Nope. So apparently, you know, any old thing can fucking happen, man, and, you know, it'll be forgotten about. You know, it just, you know, it's pretty clear. You know, anything, I mean, come on, look what the fuck is going on in the UK still. Jimmy Savile is dead, so they waited till that motherfucking creep died. They got Rolf Harris. He's in the joint. Rolf Harris is fucked. But Jimmy Savile, friend to David Cameron, friend to the royal fucking family, friend to the Tory party, raised money for the fucking Tory party, right? BBC alumni, all of that, was a serial fucking abuser. And everybody knew about it, and nobody dealt with it. Why? Because we don't want to motherfucking discuss this shit because of the connections to this and the connections to that. Now, you got a whole, you know, you want to make an argument about the Freemasons, want to make a motherfucking argument about, what do you say, Lou? Yeah, they're talking about the Hellfire Club, all that type of shit. You know, I don't know how true any of that is, other than, like, the political links between the Freemasons. That whole shit about them sitting in the dark room, you know, making decisions. You know, kiss my motherfucking ass with that. You know, really. You know, on your fucking bike. Because that's a waste of my goddamn time. Stop listening to fucking Alex Jones and watching these dumbass goddamn movies. These cheap fucking... They're not even B-grade goddamn films. They're like D-grade fucking films, man. You should call it the fucking, you know, D-list movies that go straight to goddamn video. Yeah, yeah, anything with Steven Seagal in it. Wait, anyway. Yeah, fuck him. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, talking about Buddhism, right? Man, fuck him, man. Yeah, you know, I don't know where else to go with this. We need to be honest about what the fuck is really happening. You know, I mean, people have sex. That's one thing we're really not discussing. Because we'll say, okay, well, people have sex, but if you like to have this type of sex, well, that's bad, you know. And then you turn around and find out that the ones that are railing the most about it are the ones that are doing exactly the same goddamn thing. If I had a dime for each motherfucker that I knew, faggot this, faggot that we found out was, you know,
does not identify with the gay community, never fucking would, but likes to have sex with men. If I fucking had a dime for each son of a bitch that I knew like that, I could fix my wife's fucking car, you know. Because it's still sitting in the fucking shop, man, because we don't have the money to fucking deal with. You know, I mean, if I had a dime for every hypocrite that I knew like that. But it's not hypocritical for, like, what I was saying earlier. Just one example of my own personal fucking peeves. I do not like facial hair. I don't like facial hair. And, you know, you got a million fucking guys out here with these beards and shit. I mean, that's their personal thing. I don't have to like it. I don't have to fucking like it. And I'm not going to grow a fucking beard, and I'm not going to walk around with fucking permanent stubble on my goddamn face to fit into some fucking meme either. And I shouldn't be made to. And I'm sorry, the majority of people I know who are fucking around with this, you know, get rid of gender goddamn thing. And I mean, they literally throw all, you know, the baby out with the fucking bathwater. You know, you need a male and a female to fucking procreate. But because science came in, let's just get rid of gender all the fucking together and just start making kids. That's a dangerous motherfucking road. And you know, you're not necessarily a hater to fucking say that. Now, you're a hater if you say that, well, you know, we need to stop homosexuality because God said it's bad. Because it makes me nervous knowing that people do this shit. You know, I'm of the fucking mind that if people just do what the fuck they're gonna do, and things normal the fuck out, you wouldn't even know half this shit. The only reason there's a gay movement is because straight people kept fucking stopping gay people from having a goddamn life. The only reason there's a civil rights movement is because white people were stopping black people from having a fucking life. The Irish rose up against the British because the British were stopping them from having a fucking life. And let's just face facts. These fucking Arabs that are going nuts out here in the Arab world, these Muslim extremists are doing so and using Islam as an excuse just because they have no fucking life. They have no fucking life. They have no promise of a fucking life. They have no promise of a future. They don't have any goddamn thing. That's why you got fascism in fucking India. Because Indians don't have any goddamn thing. There's still people who are defecating in the fucking street because there's no goddamn sewage. There's still terrible racism being justified through Hinduism. And now you got the extreme Hinduism coming with Modi and his BJP party and the RSS. So, I mean, what the fuck, man? But we're not going to discuss that. We're only going to discuss, you know, the good parts of Hinduism, right? We're going to talk about Gandhi, who was a racist, who was a sexual fucking hypocrite, who actually was going to fucking concede and give in to the fucking Japanese who were about to invade goddamn India. They were already occupying certain small parts of India, right? He was ready to give in. He was telling the British to give in. He told Jews to commit suicide. And this is after he found out about the fucking Holocaust. He's talking about, yeah, well, you know, you just kill yourselves and that way you don't give them, the Nazis, a victory. Man, fuck a Gandhi, man. He was an Indian nationalist that was good for India. But when you look at the whole goddamn thing, and I'm not talking about his personal life, the way he treated his wife was terrible. He didn't treat his wife well. And if you look at a whole lot of religious leaders, there are very few of them that treat their wives very well. Very few of them who treat their wives, their spouses, very fucking well. So, you know, fuck religion, fuck Gandhi, and fuck hypocrisy. And let's start, you know, being honest about the fucking contradictions, because they're there. They're there. You have a lot of white men that are going after black women right now. And if you read their fucking articles out here on the goddamn internet, they're doing black women a favor. And I've had at least one motherfucking cat try to argue that shit with me, and we just had to walk away from each other because I was, you know, getting upset. You know, telling me, well, you know, they couldn't be with us before, now that they can, I mean, you know, why would you, like, argue against that? And see, the thing is, I wasn't arguing against that. What I was saying was, is that when we start looking at being with white people as somehow arriving, that's a fucking problem. Because you're nobody to have fucking arrived at. You know, I mean, Europeans have been, you know, if you want to look at human groups, you know, not just demographics, but thermographics, right? Europeans have always been, white folks have always been the smallest human population on the planet. And now, because you've extended yourself all over the goddamn place, because you didn't want to stay home, and people are coming into your countries now, and your daughters are having kids with these motherfuckers and shit, and occasionally your sons, who are not wankers, are fucking, you know, meeting women that they like and starting families, you know, all this bullshit is changing. And I agree. You know, you have to start having a real discussion about this, or you're going to start running into more of these motherfucking ridiculous goddamn contradictions. If you're a black person and you're born in Japan, are you Japanese? Now, your nationality, in the legal sense, might be Japan, but do the Japanese accept you as Japanese? I'm not talking about you have a Japanese parent. In that case, you have a fucking argument. But when you do not, you have two African goddamn parents, and you're born in Osaka, how the fuck do you identify? Now, why is this coming up? Because this is happening. That you have Africans who were doing construction work and bullshit in Japan and in Taiwan, who, if you watch Asian television, you see them occasionally. They if they bring their wives over, they're having children over there. So, of course, the kids are speaking the native language, right? And they're speaking Mandarin, Chinese, or Japanese. Are they Taiwanese and Japanese? You know, really. I mean, I met a black cat that was telling me he was Catalan. And I thought he meant, you know, because one of his parents, and he wasn't even from Catalan. You know, he immigrated to Spain at 8 or something. And I met him in his late 20s. And he was making a serious argument that he was Catalan, you know. I understood where he was coming from, but, you know, this woman who was from Spain, from Barcelona, or at least that's what she told me, she's like, yeah, there are people like that, but nobody accepts them as being Spaniards. She's like, not in any real sense. And she's like, and it's not hate, but they're not Spaniard, you know. And it's like, well, it's not hate, but we all know how fucking racist the Spanish are. So, you know, we have to fucking be honest about that. But these are real discussions that we need to have. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there's hate involved. Now, in many cases, there's certainly goddamn hate involved. But not in every goddamn case. I mean, if I prefer brown women, like I said, and I do, it's not that I haven't been with white women. I've been with plenty. I was very much in love with a white woman. You know, we came very close to getting married. There was an Israeli woman I almost married. We came very, very fucking close. And those are just two examples. I've dated all kinds from all over because why not? You know, I'm brown. Why wouldn't I want to check out whatever? But when it comes to, with all of that experience, when it comes to everything, I prefer to be with a brown woman. That is my preference. And it's not a political preference. That's what I like. When I see Indian women, my heart flutters, man. You know. It doesn't mean I hate the sisters. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful black women out there, but I like brown. I'm brown. I like brown, you know. Doesn't mean that I hate black women. Doesn't mean, yeah, but see, you know, I mean, of course I've been with black women. But see, but their argument is just like what I was saying earlier about the gay thing. If I haven't proved that I've had this list of black women, this list of names that I can refer to, then I'm not really down. Which is nonsense. That's just stupid. Now, you know, like I said, you know, this couple I know personally, he's a white guy and she's Filipino, and their relationship is a normal goddamn relationship. He treats her like a human being. And, you know, she was, her parents are born in the Philippines. She was born and raised here. She's about my age. Not quite in her 50s, but she's close, my age group. And, you know, I mean, she knows she's Filipino. She doesn't hide any of that, but she doesn't speak the language. She eats some of the food, but not much. She makes a bit of an attempt to keep up with things. She goes to centenarios and shit like that. But, and, you know, their son is totally, you know, he's Irish and he's Filipino. And, you know, it's totally cool. And there's no problems. And he's not having any adjustment problems. But I can't say that the majority of white men who are married to black women that I've known were like that. I mean, you had that famous episode not too long ago on that, what was that, that crazy-ass psychiatrist? Goes by the first name, because they all go by first names. And I was going to say Dr. Roof, but that's not who I'm talking about. She was the sexologist. It was one of these others, where black woman called in to her show and said, look, you know, my husband calls me a nigger, refers to me a nigger, his friends refer to me a nigger, they're really racist, and this is my husband, and this, that, and the other. And she's like, well, how do you know it was racist? You know, totally just dismissed what this woman was saying. And I'm saying, again, from personal experience, when I say Tom, I'm not fucking joking. Now, while I've never had a girlfriend who, you know, called me a nigger or any fucking thing, you know, they were pretty dismissive when racist shit would happen to me. Especially when it was one of their relatives or one of their friends. But I could always get a, well, how do you really know? Aren't you being sensitive? You know, that type of bullshit. And it just got to the point where, you know, I didn't want to fuck, you know, I didn't want to date white women at all anymore after that. It got to the point I didn't want to talk to white people for you know, a couple of years. And this is way before fucking Trump. I mean, I'm going back like 10 years or so, but I gave up on white folks for about a good 2 or 3 years, man. I mean, I went to work, I talked to everybody the same, but I wasn't being social anymore. Because there were white guys that would get drunk and start telling me what they really thought about people of color. And I'm just like, and you fucking are telling me that you're my pal and you're fucking running around thinking like this? And you know, every Tom that I know can fucking tell you stories like this. Every assimilationist I know can tell you stories like this. It just got to the point for me where I got tired of the fucking excuses. I'm talking about in my mid to late 20s, and I kind of, they say, those white people who knew me back then, that I rebelled. Because it was after the Rodney King thing. I'm like, I don't have to take this shit from you motherfuckers, man. You know, people were just making excuses for this, and I'm like, fuck y'all, man. You know, especially the Jewish people I knew. Because I'm like, hey, you know, what the fuck makes you think you're clean, that you're not part of this shit? You see what's going on at Brandeis University? Yeah, they're picking on the Jews over there. And of course, they're tying this shit into the BDS movement when it's not that. You got fucking neo-Nazis that been here. Been neo-Nazis here. They're just waiting for the perfect fucking moment where they can fucking come out above board. And Trump is giving them that goddamn moment. So, you've tied your fucking politics up into Israel, or technically, really, you've allowed the Zionist extremists in your fucking ethnic group. And really mine, if I identify with the quarter of me that is European Jewish, that is Ashkenazim, you know, again, when I talk about Filipinos, I'm part Filipino. You know, I'm not talking out of my fucking keister about this shit. I don't fit in any one group. You think black people 100% fucking accept me? Are you stupid? They look at my features and like, yeah, well, you're mixed. You remember, until Lisa Bonet popped up on the motherfucking Cosby Show, you know, mixed black folks were a cipher. You didn't really fucking exist. You didn't see us on TV. We didn't exist. You know, the only time I saw people who looked like me was on the BBC. Right? I had to watch English television, you know, in order to motherfucking see somebody who looked like me. Yeah, but yeah, because you never saw light-skinned black folks. You never saw light-skinned black folks on television. That's why Lisa Bonet's appearance on the Cosby Show was such a big fucking deal, because we were invisible. And usually when they did cast us in something, it was either some like Imitation of Life kind of fucking role, or you played Puerto Ricans or Dominicans, which you know, there's plenty of Afro Puerto Ricanos, and there's plenty, if not, as far as I'm concerned, all fucking Dominicans are black. But hey, you got that whole caste bullshit, right? So, you know, no, I'm Castellano. Whatever. Whatever. Your nose is as wide as my motherfucking grandma. So it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? They are Indian and motherfucking African. But like most fucking people, they don't want to fucking be. Right? Who wants to be a nigger? Who wants to be a nigger? I mean, that's what all of this bullshit is. You know, that's going on with this motherfucking election. You know, let's find somebody to fucking pick on. Let's find somebody to fucking pick on. So right now, because transgender people stepped out of the motherfucking shadows, you know, and a lot of that, and no, don't get angry at me for saying this. You know, I study goddamn propaganda. When the drag race show with RuPaul became accepted. Because, you know, they have bigger venues now. It's a big thing in L.A. now. That opened the door in a lot of ways, which is why I understand when I hear these millennial motherfuckers who I disagree with strongly on this, but I understand where they're coming from, that if there's a black comic book or whatever that's made into a movie, that this is going to somehow level the playing field. But my fucking problem is you put all your fucking eggs into that shit. You put all of your eggs in that one basket. Well, if you get into the military, if you're gay, well, that's going to level out the playing field. Well, there's gays all over the goddamn military now. Has it leveled out the playing field? You're still motherfucking doing imperialism and colonialism. So what the fuck are you talking about? It hasn't done a goddamn thing. Especially if your transgender brothers and sisters can't even go to the fucking same restroom as you. Oh, there's blacks in the military? There's blacks in the police force? Okay. And there's black people still getting fucked over and they're still getting murdered by goddamn police. Like Freddie Gray. Like Ernest Satterwhite. How many more names can I mention? Michael Brown. How many more names can I mention? And they're killing white people too. Kelly Thomas. They beat that poor white man to death. They beat him to death. Latinos? Yeah, I know a lot of the Mexicans here in Portlandia, you know, who think that they're white, don't like me because I point out that they're fucking hypocrisy. They're not even trying to help their own motherfucking people. The Republicans that I told you that I live, they live on my block. And fucking, I'm just like, hey, man, somebody helped you, and now you don't want to fucking help these people have what you have. Frankly, I would like to see Mexicans dressed well like you, to have a nice home like you, whose kids are going to nice schools like yours, to have manners and shit and walk around. Yeah, I would like to see that too, but that means they need to fucking be helped. And they need to fucking learn that, you know, you're not in Mexico anymore. And if you don't like what I'm saying, then don't listen to this podcast anymore. When you go to another fucking country, you got to motherfucking speak the goddamn language. I'm sorry. You got to acclimate some goddamn what. I'm not saying you have to give up your motherfucking culture. I'm not saying you have to give up your music. I'm not saying you have to give up your language. I'm not saying you have to give up how you wear your hair. But you got to motherfucking deal with where you're at. And if you're not going to come into somebody's home with respect, expect them to fucking be angry with you. Now, I'm not talking specifically about people coming over here from Mexico. I'm talking about and there is a level of arrogance to this shit, which is what the racist white motherfuckers over here, like the Minutemen, the people back then, like that murderous Donald Ford, and that crazy, dumbass, hypocrite Bill O'Reilly, the crap that they're talking about. I'm not saying, no, I don't believe in a motherfucking open door policy. No country should have an open door policy if they want to maintain any sort of motherfucking national or territorial or security. If they have any integrity at all, they're not going to fucking do that to themselves. You leave this shit too fucking wide open. Ask Costa Rica. Ask Honduras. You know, ask any fucking country in Africa that is getting an influx. Go to Southeast Asia. Go to the Arab world. You know, but okay, so conditions are bad in your country, so you just come up and just absorb all of our fucking resources, right? No. I mean, look, what the U.S. does is fucked up. And the U.S. does rip off a lot of goddamn places. But you have a lot of fucking people here who are just working fucking folks. And they have no more power over their fucking governments than these people who are coming from other fucking places. And I'm talking about immigrants and refugees. And, you know, for working fucking folks, they're already getting fucked over by their systems. I'm not making a judgment call. This is a what is. They're already getting dogged by the fucking systems at home. And when, you know, a lot of immigrants come in, and if they can't get acclimated, you know, quickly, I mean, within a reasonable period of time, it causes fucking tension. Now, you're going to have the racism. And that shit needs to be fucking dealt with. But, you know, of course, the working class, say whites, are not saying to themselves that the corporations are paying these people less. They're taking advantage of them. The reason many of them are here is because they got run out because of shit that somebody over here fucking did at home. No, because we don't have that discussion. So you get the left wing, the extreme left wing, who's like, no borders, just open everything up. And then you have the extreme conservatives who are like, close everything fucking down. No, you got to be reasonable. You got to be reasonable. And shit has to be, in you know, to work for both ends. It just can't work for motherfucking one end. You know, I mean, Scandinavia has been open to allowing a lot of goddamn refugees and immigrants, you know, into their nations. And I'm sorry, those people have an obligation to learn Norwegian, Swedish, Danish. They have an obligation to understand the culture in which they're living in now. I'm not telling them to not be Tamil. I'm not telling them to not be Rohingya, right? I'm not telling them to that they have to drop their entire fucking identity. But you got to be able to kind of gel and get along with the shit. Because if you don't, if you're going to go to another country and set up your own goddamn community, then you can't be pissed, man, when these people get mad because they got to make changes. You know, you got a lot of old people, man, who, why did they have to learn Spanish? And I'm being serious about this. You got whole neighborhoods where, you know, I mean, I talked about, was it Garden City, New Jersey? Because I had to live there for a little while. And, you know, poor whites. I mean, it's not like the fucking town was anything special. It wasn't. I mean, you know, coming from Newark, which is a fucking dump, you know, and I'm saying that because that's what it is. It's a dump, and they've had black leadership there for the fucking longest who have sold it out, and it's still fucked up. So, you know, what I'm trying to get to is, you know, you have poor whites and all that kind of shit down there, and downtown was pretty nasty, especially at night, right? You know, white crackheads, white prostitution, some white gangs, you know, criminal gangs and all that bullshit. So a lot of Mexicans start moving in, and within like two and a half years, man, very little English was downtown. They took over quite, you know, a bit, if not everything in the commercial sector down there that wasn't like long established, you know, by somebody white who had a lockout or a particular niche trade. And, you know, I have to be honest, the people who were living there, the people who were from there, they had a right to fucking complain. Because, you know, you had a lot of males that came up with no women, right, who came out of, you know, various barrios and a lot of small rancheros and shit, a lot of small towns. They came up here with no women. And, you know, when I first, you know, went up there, like I said, the place was nothing to brag about, but there weren't condoms in the middle of the fucking street. That started happening. There weren't beer bottles everywhere. There weren't fights and people getting stabbed and shit. And then, you know, started having shootings. And the last time I was over there, it was pretty bad. Now, it's not because these people were Mexican. It wasn't because of their DNA. It's because they were uneducated and they didn't have any opportunities. They didn't have any real fucking opportunities. You see, real motherfucking socialism says that everybody should fucking have the same basic shit. You want more than you work for. That's, you know, you should be, you know, able to fucking in a free society to do that. But you can't cheat, motherfuckers. You can't discharge what the fuck you want. You got to be honest about your business dealings. You know, excuse me for believing that there needs to be some sort of, you know, fairness and shit. But you have to be fair and listen to both ends. Now, like I said, a hardcore fucking bigot is a hardcore fucking bigot. You know, if you get a Mexican family that's like the ones I'm talking about live down the road from me, who have done the entire American thing, I mean, to the point where the wife and the daughter, they're both blonde now. I mean, you know, they're Indian, but they're both blonde. I mean, the husband got a good goddamn job, and I saw how they, when they first moved over here, how they built everything up. And I'm not knocking him, but he's a closed-minded, selfish son of a bitch. And his thing was, you know, he was pretty open and wanted to help, you know, and be involved in what was happening and all that type of shit. But our relationship soured because he started becoming more and more conservative. Because the better he got, the better he did for himself, the more fucked up he got about other people. And he didn't want to help any other goddamn Mexican. He didn't even want to associate. I've never seen him in the past 4 years. He's lived, the past 4 years that he's been on my in my neighborhood, I have not seen him associate with another Latino. He only talks to white people. And we stopped talking some time ago. So, you know, that's we need to be honest about all of this shit. We need to be honest about how the fuck we got here. We need to be honest about how attitudes develop. So that way we can address them. Now, if the white people in Garden City were saying that they were pissed off about, you know, the condition of the fucking neighborhood, I'm sorry. They had a right to be fucking pissed. But the discussion then should have turned on to, we need to start educating these men.
that this isn't appropriate behavior. That maybe that's what you're used to back home, but you can't do that here. And there's a reason for this. You know, I mean, what's the point? You know, I talked about, I can't remember the name of the town now, but this is one of my white girlfriends, one of my early white girlfriends. I know I've talked about this briefly. And she lived in upstate New York. So I always, you know, coming from Philly, that was a bit of a hike, right? I had to take a couple of, you know, commuter trains, and there was a bus, and then, you know. Anyway, there was like two black people living up in that town, man. And one of them was a cop. Two or three black families. And one of them was a cop. And I'd seen him. You know, and several years later, man, you know, more black people started moving up there. Shootings. Crack. One of the reasons I remember that, you know, a lot of this shit is because a young white kid had died from a crack overdose up there. So, of course, you know, they started blaming all the black people. But the thing about it was there was crack up there beforehand. But it wasn't as widespread. I mean, you had a handful of fucking poor whites that did that shit. But then blacks came up there. It wasn't that so much that they started spreading the crack as much as they brought the crack with them. They brought the ghetto with them. And, you know, motherfuckers want to tell me about, oh, you know, the ghetto is this, the ghetto is that, you know, the reservation is this, the reservation is that. Really, you want to get the fuck away from a goddamn reservation. Really, you want to get the fuck out of a goddamn ghetto. You want to move away from this shit. You want to move away from it. Same thing with the gay ghettos. I mean, no, I'm not saying gay people shouldn't have their own fucking culture and shouldn't hang out with each other, but realize if you have your own culture, it's because you've been excluded. And when you have a culture that develops, a subculture that develops out of exclusion, you get into things that are usually not very pretty. So you end up actually, you know, in some ways, while you're resisting and trying to deal with your oppression, you end up kind of, in some ways, oppressing your fucking self. Because if gay people really want to be integrated, then you really wouldn't want a gay neighborhood. I mean, that's an argument that can be made. The same thing could be said with black folks. But the thing about it is, black people never willingly, I mean, we would have clustered any goddamn way, but really, blacks were forced to live where the fuck they lived. My parents didn't fucking choose where we grew up. My father told me flat out, we live here because where else the fuck are we gonna go? We can't live where white people live. I'm like, yeah, but they got a better neighborhood over there. He's like, yeah, man. And you know, and Philly's got his, you know, fucking share of poor whites, right? Their neighborhoods ain't no fucking better than ours. I remember going to goddamn Boston one time. I said, what was it, in Worcester? I was like, this? I said, this is what fuckers over here telling me I come from nigger town and this is where they live? I'm like, what the fuck? It's just what? Everybody was Irish. They were all white. It looked like a ghetto to me. But see, we can't have that discussion because white people don't live in ghettos. Right? Because isn't that what they just got on Bernie Sanders about? Because we got the idea that, you know, ghetto, which doesn't really mean black any goddamn way, but it does in this motherfucking country. I mean, the Warsaw ghetto, when you talk about that with people, they look at you like you're fucking stupid. They don't know anything about this history. They really don't know what the fuck ghetto means. Or the pale, right? Which is embarrassing when you're Jewish and you don't know what the fuck the pale means. And you want to argue about Israel and all that type of shit. I mean, that's pretty motherfucking embarrassing. But yeah, man, you know, that's the dispatch for this week. The hypocrisy I see out there, in politics and society is pretty fucking bad. And it's really also getting on my goddamn nerves that, you know, yes, gay liberation. Yes. Trans liberation. Yes. Yes. Now, does that mean that everything should be fucking allowed? No. No, I don't believe that you know, a same gender couple should be having designer goddamn babies just because the science is out there. No, I don't agree with it. You know, go out there and fucking adopt. If it doesn't really matter, then adopt a human who has no fucking family. There are children out here who need homes desperately. And there are many
loving gay couples out there that can do this. They have the love and they have the fucking resources. So why do you need to have a carbon fucking copy of yourself? I'm not making a religious argument. I'm making an argument for fucking common sense. Don't make goddamn children. You start making fucking kids because you can make kids. Then what happens? Well, we start making only blonde and fucking blue-eyed kids because that's the current. And don't think that a black couple, if they had the choice, wouldn't have a white goddamn kid. Hello. Because I've had this motherfucking discussion. I've had this discussion. I've had that motherfucking discussion, man. I've had that motherfucking discussion. See? You know, and a particular woman that I'm thinking about thinks that she's Beyonce. She thinks that she's Beyonce. Now, I got my fucking issues with Beyonce, you know, because I think she's a fucking, you know, as far as politics goes, she's a fucking hypocrite. And I'm really tired of people telling me feminism involves shaking your ass in front of a bunch of people in a goddamn music video. That seems to me like you're just fucking, you know, the saying that the sexism and shit is cool. And you're trying to turn this around to justify what the fuck you're doing to make money. That's what it sounds like to me. You know, no, I don't see that as feminism. And I fucking never will. And yeah, and I think that when men say that they're feminists anyway, I think they're fucking full of shit. You know, you are not a woman. You don't really know what the fuck she's going through. You can only fucking, you know, have an idea of what women actually have to go through. The best thing you can fucking do is to shut up and fucking listen. But saying that you're a fucking feminist is crazy to me. You know, that's like, you know, a white man who's working in the black liberation struggle. It's totally cool. But you're a white man working in the black liberation struggle. You're not a black man in the black liberation struggle. You know, that's... You know, we gotta call fucking bullshit and start getting back to some kind of fucking reality. Now, like I said, this particular woman that I'm thinking about, this chick, she told me if she could medically do it, the next kid that she has would be white. She wouldn't have another black kid. And, you know, she was just telling me basically about police brutality and shit like that. But I already know that she's living, kind of like my Republican Latino neighbor, living in a fucking cloud of craziness. She only wears her hair blonde, and whatever fucking hairstyle Beyonce's got, that's what the fuck she goes to get. Right? She, whatever the fuck Beyonce wears, she has to go out. She lives in public fucking housing, though. See. And like a lot of black women who are like pumping their asses because their asses aren't big enough, I guess, you know, because they're trying to copy Nicki Minaj and that craziness that she's doing. And yeah, I know Nicki Minaj is really good for cutting motherfuckers down like Cola Booth, but you know, she can save whatever the fuck she wants. That plastic goddamn surgery and that, I don't like her goddamn music. You know, all of that bullshit isn't pushing anything other than nonsense to the goddamn fucking black people in which who are identifying with her. That fake ass bullshit is telling what? If you don't have money to fucking put this fake shit in your ass and that fake shit in your fucking tits and don't like your body for the fucking way it is. And yeah, that's another one that we can get into before we go out of here. You know, some of the men, and you know, I don't know what it is. You got a lot of scumbag men out here, and then you got decent guys, and if they make a fucking comment like, yeah, like I'm not gonna mention his name because he listens to the show, but. Yeah, so is his wife. But yeah, we were out. I told you about this. We were out, and he said something about what's her name? John Legend's wife, Christy something. Tigan, you said? I don't know anything about her other than that's his wife. Well, he said something about her being attractive. And somebody mentioned another celebrity, a white woman. I can't remember who it was. So he said that, you know, well, I guess she's okay, but I'm not particularly interested in her. And he's like, well, why not? And I still can't remember what it was, but these two women came down on him, you know, talking about, well, you know, you're fucked up because you only want women with, you know, this kind of a body or whatever the fuck. And it's like, so wait a minute, you know, you're fucked up now for having a preference? Because this is kind of how we started with this shit. So if you only like to date, or you only are interested in one particular type, so you're fucked up if you don't want to deal with everybody. You don't want to fuck every. I mean, I've already had one straight man who was not anti-gay. He is not anti-gay. But he had a conflict at his job because something had come up about gay male dating. I don't know. Something that had to do with an account that it came up that these people were gay. And I had something to do with dating. And someone asked or came up with, they were having a discussion about how to deal with this, I suppose. How they were going to promote it or whatever it is, because that's kind of what he does. And he just simply made a statement that he wasn't gay. And I remember now. They had asked him which one he would go out with on this. They laid out some models or something, and he said that I wouldn't be able to, because I wouldn't go out with a man. I wouldn't date a man. He almost lost his fucking job for that. Now, he was asked a direct fucking question, and he said that he couldn't make a decision because he wasn't attracted to men. He wouldn't date a male. And they said that he's an anti-gay bigot, and he almost lost his fucking job. That's goddamn stupid. But see, here it is. The gay lobby, people have already told me that that was justified, that he learned his lesson, you know, all this type of shit in our social circle. And I'm thinking, damn, you know what? You're the same fucking people trying to tell me to forget about the fact that Hillary Clinton talks about super predators and ruin how many goddamn lives forever. To find another race, oh yeah. See, you know, we pick and choose, don't we? And that's a contradiction, isn't it? And I think it's something we need to talk about, don't we? This is the Angry Indian, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Him off the dropping park and run. Him can't stand up to judge our son.
Shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race.
Hey, this is Javon Bonker, and you can catch me on Twitter, selfmade_G22. Let's Be Real podcast on Facebook. You look us up. Are you listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio?
My last in hand, and if him slip a gun with him hand, I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil.
Jade, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
Hi.
I'm having an issue with my husband where I'm starting to grow very resentful of him. I'm black and he's white. We've been around some of his friends and family members who start make racist comments as if I'm not there or if I'm not black. And my husband ignores those comments and it hurts my feelings. And he just acts like he
didn't. Can you give me an example of a racist comment? Because sometimes people are hypersensitive. So tell me give me two good examples of racist comments.
Okay, last night, good example. We had a neighbor come over, and this neighbor, every time he comes over, it's always a black comment. It's, oh, well, how do you black people like doing this, and do black people really like doing that? And for a long time, I would ignore it. But last night, I got to the point
I don't think that's racist.
The stereotype.
I don't think that's racist. No, I think
stereotype.
No. I think that's, well, listen, without giving much thought, a lot of blacks voted for Obama simply because he was half black. Didn't matter what he was going to do in office. It was a black thing. You got to know that. That's not a surprise. Not everything that somebody says. We had friends over the other day. Got about 35 people here. The guys were going to start playing basketball. I was going to go out and play basketball. My bodyguard and my dear friend is a black man. And I said, white men can't jump. I want you on my team. That was racist? That was funny.
How about the N-word, though? The N-word's been thrown around.
Black guys use it all the time. Turn on HBO, listen to a black comic, and all you hear is nigger, nigger, nigger.
That is,
I don't get it. If anybody without enough melanin says it, it's a horrible thing. But when black people say it, it's affectionate. It's very confusing. Don't hang up. I want to talk to you some more. Don't go away. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. I'll be right back.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Or confused, get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Information is the best way to protect your health. Plan B, an emergency contraceptive, is now available over-the-counter without a prescription or a doctor's appointment for women 17 years and older. If you have had unprotected sex or have been sexually assaulted, consider Plan B to prevent an unwanted pregnancy. You have a legal right to get Plan B without a doctor's prescription. For more information, call your local Indian Health Service. If your local IHS does not carry Plan B, request that they do. Contact your local tribal health board and let them know about Plan B so they can make sure IHS provides it. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. In Canada, medicinal use of marijuana is already legal. Now the Canadian government has announced that they will soon stop arresting marijuana smokers altogether. We can learn much from our neighbors to the north. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org.
Imagine you're on vacation with your family. You're visiting Las Vegas, Disney World, the Mall of America, or the Golden Gate Bridge. You take a photo, and that's when things get weird. A security guard stops you, wants to ask you questions. He writes down your name, the details on your driver's license, asks where you live, where you work. He reads your information into a radio. He says surveillance cameras captured you taking photos of a location considered vulnerable to security threats, like terrorism. Terrorism, you think? No, not me. He takes your camera, looks through the photos, and confiscates the memory card. He pats you down for weapons. Weapons? This is crazy, you say. What have I done wrong? It's entirely possible you've broken no known rules or laws at all. You didn't see any signs banning photos. But this is the new reality of a post-9/11 America. Let's rewind a bit. After the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, then-President George W. Bush deeply reorganized the federal government and created a massive new Department of Homeland Security. The U.S. government was determined never to miss intelligence again. No lead would be unfollowed. No stone unturned. Part of this new department's job was to give billions in Homeland Security grants to state and local agencies so they could participate in the fight against terrorism. Hundreds of millions of those dollars were used to build more than 70 intelligence fusion centers across the U.S. Inside these command centers, local police and sheriffs join forces with the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, and other federal agencies. Their mission is to collect, analyze, and share vast amounts of information about possible criminal and terrorist threats. And from their perspective, you could be one of them. See, after that security guard wrote down all of your personal information, it may have become a suspicious activity report, beginning a journey from his notepad to the local police department and then on to a fusion center. At the fusion center, your data can be put into a database, where it may be kept indefinitely. Your info could then be accessed by other law enforcement agencies, like nearby police departments and the FBI. An FBI agent could even come knocking at your door. This won't happen to everyone, but suspicious activity reporting appears to be on the rise. More than 15,000 reports are already stored in one national law enforcement database, with only half of states participating so far. In D.C., researchers examined 40,000 suspicious person and vehicle calls made over 20 months from 2005 to 2007. None were confirmed terrorist threats. 200 were deemed potential threats. Here's how it works. In L.A., a dry cleaning employee found a thumb drive in a customer's dirty laundry. On it were photos of the Burbank airport. The employee called police, and they filed a suspicious activity report. At the Mall of America in Minnesota, an elderly Pakistani man left his cell phone on a food court table. When he came back for it, security guards had created a perimeter around the phone and other unattended items that weren't his. He was interrogated, and an FBI agent later showed up at his family's home. This is life in America since hijackers killed 3,000 people in terrorist attacks a decade ago. Since then, we've had no major attacks in the U.S. But civil liberties watchdogs say some of our basic freedoms may be at risk, like freedom of movement, freedom from harassment by police, and the right to be treated as innocent until proven guilty.
Hey, pal chubasquillo, Sam 69, eh? Si alguien más sabe lo que es.
De hecho, bajillo. Anda parecido.
No les damos la bronca que nos llaman hijos de puta.
Esto no es terraso. Gaire
I'm Cory Doctorow, and you're listening to a Creative Commons licensed podcast. Some rights reserved.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers, we hate Jews, we hate faggots, and we hate specs. We don't have to have a reason to hate it. People need to get off your ass and wake up. This is America.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
We get a great deal of mail from our viewers commenting on our sketches, indicating their likes and dislikes, and whether you realize it or not, there is just about no joke or sketch, particularly of a satirical sort, that will not offend somebody, you know, a cowboy or a drunk or somebody. I don't want to equate those two already. I can see the cards are coming in. I'll tell you how we are going to face the problem. We have decided that once a month, we will book a comedian who will offend everybody. Fair enough? All right, and then we'll get it all over with, you see? A man who will disturb a great many social groups watching right now. Because, I'm serious, his satirical comments refer to many things not ordinarily discussed on television, and it serves you right. Now, that way, the NBC Mail Department will know in advance, right, that the complaints are coming in, they hire three or four extra girls, they get the stamped answers ready, we're very sorry, we didn't mean, you know, that sort of thing. And then the whole thing is handled with neatness and dispatch. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is a very shocking comedian, the most shocking comedian of our time, a young man who is skyrocketing to fame, Lenny Bruce. Here he is.
Will Elizabeth Taylor become Bar Mitzvahed? No, I promise continuity. I'll behave myself. I'll do all the lines we rehearsed, you know. That's the thing, you know. I have a reputation for being sort of controversial and irreverent and also the semantic bear trap of bad taste. And actually, I do have, and I will always be accused of bad taste by the people who eat in restaurants to reserve service, you know, that kind of scene to anyone, yeah. But you might be interested in how I became offensive. Like started in school with drinking and I was like a real depressed kid, you know, 7, 8 years old, and I really get juiced and get out of my house. And so the teacher would really get bugged, you know, with me singing and carrying on and calling Columbus a fink and boosting Aaron Burr and all that. Then smoking. I don't know if you can see. Can you see that from here? I've got like this tattoo here. I'll fix it. Can you see it? I smoked Marlboros when I was 6 years old and it grew up. offend. There's a funny kind of thing. It's there's semantics. There are words that offend me. Let's see. Governor Farbus, segregation offend me. Nighttime television offends me. Some nighttime television. The shows that exploit homosexuality, narcotics, and prostitution under the guise of helping the societal problem. Except like for a few shows. There's one guy on the coast who's got like a nutty sense of humor, you know. His name is Paul Coates. And he found out, there were kids that 8 and 9 years old that were sniffing airplane glue. to get high on, you know, and so I had sort of a fantasy how it happened. The kid is alone in his room, and it's Saturday. The child is played by George McCready. Well, let's see now. I'm all alone in the room, and it's Saturday. Mother's away, and what'll I do that's good and hostile? Let's see. I'll make an airplane. That's good. I'll make a Lancaster. Good structural design. I'll get the ball to it. I'll sand it here. I'll cut that off. I'll get the struts now.
Now I'll get a layer of plain glue, I'll rub it on the rag, and, Hey, now, it's a nutty place. I'm getting loaded. Is this possible, loaded on aeroplane glue? Maybe it's just stuffy in here. I'll call my dog over. Flicker. Flicker, come here, darling, and smell this rat. Smell it, you freaky little doggy. Smell that rat, Flicker. Flicker. Flicker! It worked. I'm the Louis Pasteur of junkiedom. I'm out of my skull for tinnitus. Well, there's much work to be done now. Horses' hooves to melt down. Noses to get ready. Cut to the toy store. Any toy store, any hobby shop. Might be your kid who walked in that day. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Hello, Mrs. Schindler. Nice store you got here. Give me a nickel's worth of pencils and a big boy tablet and some erasers and 2,000 tubes of aeroplane glue. That's it. What? Let's see. A pen. What else offends me? Some motion pictures. Now, the motion pictures, that's the thing that I don't like, you know. Exploitation for just the sake of exploiting. Motion pictures that exploit race relations without ever saying anything. I don't feel Hollywood has ever, with the exception of Home of the Brave, really touched on a good picture that came out and said some issues that were important. You know, typical brotherhood film. Hey, Skits, like, lay some Spanish music on me, like anything. That's weird. Miguel, 3 years old, it's the hour of truth. They're taking the bull away, the bull he raised, the bull he loves. We hear Miguel talking to his father. Why are you going to take the bull away? I love him. Not my bull, not your bull. Sometimes you stick the bandolero on him and kill my new era. Todo el mundo está telefónico en España. That's my bull. Puy, I don't like you. I told you, I'm not your song. Don't call me your song. Because you kill my bull. That is like my song, if you don't understand. No, how can I understand that you kill him? That's all I know. Miguel, if you don't see, I can explain to you. If you say to kill this bull will mean $3,000 in American money. Kill him. He grows. The man, 19 years old, and here's where the typical Hollywood brotherhood pitch starts to seep in. The sister talks to him over the shoulder. One. You're making a mistake, hanging around with the wrong gang. Why, Dr. Mendoza, the shop teacher, said you're making wonderful earrings out of that espresso machine. Juan, why don't you listen before it's too late? Juan, over the shoulder into the mirror. Don't bother me. What do you know? Esta quinela, esta caliente recha que está Tijuana. Don't bother me. Give me the rubber band for my ponytail. Now we dissolve to the exterior of the schoolyard. And there's all the Anglo-Saxon types, you know, they're bright and shiny with their switchblade tongues. And there's one, like, you know, with a ripped Madras blazer, you know. And the big pitch comes in. Listen to me. Come on, you guys. When I hear something I learned in school, what I can't forget. You know what I learned in school? Put in my mind the high school principal. Something I can't forget. You know what I can't forget? I forgot. No, I don't forget. Only in this country can happy, my friend. I'm an Spanish guy, okay? I'm Spanish. Phil is a color guy, okay? Sal is a Jewish guy. There's a Japanese guy, a French guy. My friend in this country, we all have to stick together and beat up the Greeks. There is another side to my nature, right? The aesthetic side, you know. Clyde Beatty. I'm going to... Did you dig that?
Yes.
I'm so happy. I'm going to write a musical with Steve Allen. And it's sort of a nice kind of thing. And it's about a couple. And if you've been married, you know, or are now, you know the scene that happened. You have a million beefs with your old lady, you know. And you break up and you go back together again.
But this couple in the play, they're a little eccentric, and they've gone back, you know, and broken up about 55 times in 7 years. But they keep going back for the kid's sake. So finally, they go to a marriage counselor. It opens up, and they're together, and they're happy, without one argument. But the kids are complete nuts. Because they were so adjusted to that scene, you know, of breaking up and going back together, that it's been too much for them. So they decide, for the kid's sake, to break up. And in the scene, Steve, like, you know, he's my friend, we're hanging out together, and he's got the first line.
All right. Hey, Lenny, where's your old lady?
Oh, we had a beef, man. We broke up.
Oh, it's too bad. Don't worry, you'll get back together.
No, that's it, you know. You have a million fights, and finally you decide that's the one. You've had it, you know, and I finally got the guts, and I got rid of her. I don't believe it, man, but I finally did it. I finally got rid of her.
How'd you do that?
She left me. But it's better off, man. You're better off alone. I'm really going to swing. I'm going to fix up my own pad. That's it. I can really fix up a pad, you know? I'm going to really get some of that shiny black furniture, and I'll get a bullfight poster, and I'll get a coffee table and make a door out of it. And I'll just really swing, and I'll get... It'll just be nice, and I'll get a satin smoking jacket and a pearl white phone, and I'll sit back and relax, and finally I'll be all alone, man. That's the best way to make it, all alone. All alone. All alone. All alone. Oh, what joy to be all alone. I'm happy alone, don't you see? I've convinced you. I don't know, I get so dramatic about it. You're better off alone, man. I got it. That's it. I'm going to get a whole bunch of new suits. You know, I've had the same dumb suit for 10 years. You walk in her closet, you can't even breathe. That's it. I'll get a whole bunch of suits. I'll get a chick that likes to hang out, man. I'll have the vodka parties. That's modern. Vodka parties. Swing it up, ball it up. I'll get a chick who likes to drink. Boy, my wife sure used to look good standing up against the sink. She's the lowest, though. I really put her down. No, no, I really miss her. I don't want some sharp chick that can quote Kerouac and walk with poise. I just want to hear my old lady say, get up and fix the sink. It's still making noise. All alone. All alone. Like a near-sighted dog, where's the bone? Ah, but it's better to be all alone. No more taking out the garbage, hear her yakking on the phone. I gave her everything, even my mother's ring. But to me, she was so petty. Sometimes I wish that she were dead. But it'd probably take her 2 hours to get ready. When she's old, then she's going to be sorry. That's it. Like, she's young and swinging now, and she can get a lot of guys. But when she's old, I can see her about 20 years from now. How you doing, Annie? I haven't seen you in a long time. You look pretty good, baby. You're still washing your hair with Dutch cleanser, I see. Yeah, you look good. You gained a few pounds. What happened to your neck? I heard you got married a few times, huh? Me, no. I've always stayed single. I've been investing in property. I picked up a little place in Mexico. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Acapulco. I don't know. Where are you living? A furnished room? That's nice. You cook on the radiator, the paper drapes. Sit in the lobby and watch television and all, you know. That's cool, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. You have the diners club. You sign for, you go first class in those joints. I know that. Yeah, that's it. Her future spells a murky gloom. I'll be rich and famous, and she'll be living in a furnished room, but it's going to be too late. I won't hear a moan. I'll be living in my Nob Hill mansion, rich and all alone. All alone. All alone. I'll be rich, but so all alone.
This
is FSNL reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
Nicely played. Sachin is off the mark.
मैं कमा के रहा हूँ और तू लगती रहती तेरी तो कितनी बार समझा तेरे को मेरे वॉलेट को हाथ मत लगाना और जब देखो तो फालतू चीजों पर पैसे खर्च करती रहती हो अरे मेरे के चैरिटी खोल के रखी इतना ही अगर तेरे को चैरिटी का शौक है तो जा अपने बाप चले
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको बेल बजाओ घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें ब्रेक थ्रू की पहल
I Don't Know More calls all people
to join in peaceful revolution
to honor indigenous sovereignty
and protect the land and water
for generations to come
Mexicans, South Americans, all indigenous people get inspired
take action
and become a part of the solution
It's my future
your future
our future
We are the protectors of Mother Earth
Stand up and protect it
Stand up and protect it
Stand up
and protect our earth
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
And become a part of this incredible movement.
The time has come.
Idle no more.
Idle no more.
Idle no more. Become idle no more.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
This ends our news flash.
That they were less interested in Panama revelations against US-backed autocrats of the Middle East, let alone the NATO-backed leader of post-coup d'etat, Ukraine. So, who or what is the ICIJ, or International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, which got hold of the Panama Papers? We know it's funded by the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Endowment, the Rockefellers, and George Soros, among others. It works with the Washington Post. Owned by the founder of tax dodger, Amazon.com. It also works with media organizations, including those of our next guest, Kristin Hrafnsson. He normally wears his WikiLeaks hat on this program, but he's also a director and co-founder of the Icelandic Center for Investigative Journalism, which has worked with the consortium. He joins me now via Skype from Reykjavik in Iceland. Kristin, thanks for coming back on the show. You've worked with both WikiLeaks and the ICIJ, the other one, the famous one. What did you make of the consortium saying, the boss of it saying, that the consortium is not WikiLeaks? They are trying to show that journalism can be done responsibly by, in effect, not releasing all the Panama Papers.
Well, I mean, they're doing two things totally different from WikiLeaks. And when they're saying that this is a irresponsible...